If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
VIG.
Cloudy with patchy fog and drizzle this morning. Partial clearing this afternoon. We're looking for highs in the upper 60s to the mid 70s.
Gigantic vagina. Biggest vagina known to man. Huge. It's gigantic. Gigantic. These big vagina ladies are getting away with murder. Something should be done. I don't know what can be done, but something should be done.
You shouldn't encourage people to be fat. Fat people are immoral.
This message goes out to ugly people and fat people. Don't reproduce.
What do you think tribal sovereignty means in the 21st century? And how do we resolve conflicts between tribes and the federal and state governments?
Yeah. Tribal sovereignty means that. It's sovereign. It's, you've been given sovereignty and you're viewed as a sovereign entity.
And now,
you know what I have to say to that? I thought I was going to fart.
Our feature presentation.
I love being in that position where you know you can't use that word again. And yet no other word will come to your mind.
Because you don't actually know
sovereign,
what that means.
If I could think of another word for sovereign, I would, but I can't. So I'm stuck.
I feel bad for presidents, and I feel bad for all the high-ranking politicians who are never allowed to say, I don't really know.
Yeah, you're right.
Because anybody else in their job, if somebody comes to you and asks you about something, you can go, hey, let me find out about that for you. For some reason, you can't do that in front of a microphone and have that replay on an endless soundbite loop for the rest of the week. So you got to fake it. You got to make it sound like you know everything about everything all the time, always.
Sarah Palin tried to do that.
And some people fake it better than others.
Right, exactly.
Some people you can tell from the second they start tap dancing that they got nothing. And then usually it's those people that go on the longest.
Yeah, of
because
course.
They're trying to make it seem like they're not tap dancing. Trust me, I know what have I speak.
Hey, we've all been there, man. We all know what that's like. That's for sure.
How was everybody's weekend?
Ralph's party.
Before we hear about that, let's invite people to call up Monday morning. Kevin and Bean, what a do nephew. We'll take your calls in a minute. 1-800-520-1067. You can tell us anything about your weekend, if it involved earthquakes or rain or anything. We don't care. Give us a call and we'll put you on the air.
Or we were talking about people that work retail hell a few minutes ago.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Somebody pooped on your floor. You know, whatever. Give us a call. 1-800-520-1067.
How was Ralph's party, Lisa?
Well.
How many died first?
I don't know. I didn't stay late.
Oh.
I didn't stay super late. But I heard that it was going to go till 4.
Okay.
So,
oh, my goodness.
I'm sure there were deaths.
All right now.
But you drive up, and of course, there's valet service.
Right.
Sweet.
With girls in little Santa's helpers costumes.
Yes. I like
little
it.
Short skirts to take your car. That was pretty cool.
And it nice just, touch.
And then they were inside serving food and drink.
That's a party.
It was awesome. It was really a good party. It's so funny because I live 6 blocks away but drove.
Yeah, well, you can't be bothered.
There's ballet, for God's sake.
To walk.
However, walking. had you been in New York, you would have walked twice that distance and thought nothing of it.
Yeah.
I know, but, you know, you're in your dressy clothes and high heels.
You don't have to
stuff.
Tell me. I do not like walking in high heels. I'm with you on that.
So fun.
I've never been to Ralph's home, of mm-hmm. course. I've never been to any party that Ralph has thrown, but he seems like the kind of guy who would throw a great party. Like it seems like he knows how to make something like that work.
He definitely does. He takes care of. He had furniture outside in the backyard, big couches and stuff that people could sit on. He takes care of every detail.
Was the Batman room off limits?
No.
Really?
No.
Oh, you got to see
tours
it in person
of the Batman room.
Did you take something?
No.
Come
you
on.
You can't. It's all in cases.
Really?
Yeah, you can't take anything.
Is it like a museum?
Yeah.
Wow.
It is. It's
weird.
Exactly like a museum. It was very impressive.
Wow.
I mean, it was specially, the whole room was specially built.
Yeah, I know.
For this.
I can't get my, oh, we're, for the Batman thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The whole room. I don't want to say anymore. Mike and I were discussing them. Perhaps Ralph does not want details revealed of the room.
Oh.
There's certain things I don't feel comfortable saying. I
mean, really?
Maybe he can, but I don't want to. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, so.
Stolen
Sorry,
stuff?
Boys.
Is that what you're saying?
What?
Stolen stuff?
No.
All right. Let's take your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do? What it do, nephew?
Well, this is the morning we've been waiting for, because you get on the air, you get a prize. And today, ladies and gentlemen, We're giving away hot Cheetos on the Kevin DeBeach Show.
That's right.
Yes.
We are giving away hot Cheetos, ladies and gentlemen. 1-800-520-1067. Get in the air. Get a prize. Get the number one selling extruded snack in America. A family-sized bag of flaming hot Cheetos.
What does extruded mean?
I have no idea.
You know, it's funny. I heard that in the NPR piece that we played about the hot Cheetos. And I'm not exactly sure, but I think it has to do with the shape of it.
Oh, okay. Like a belly button? Like an Audi? Kind of
yes,
a shape?
I think so. I think that's, I should look that up, but I think that's what it is. I think it's, to distinguish it from, say, a chip or something like that. This is something that's puffy, I think is what it means.
Thank God they used the word extruded.
Oh my God. Yeah,
none of us know that word.
It's useful to all of us, right?
Dewan in Los Angeles.
What's up, Code of Bean? Hey, Lisa.
Good morning, Dewan.
How you doing, Dewan?
How's it going?
Good.
Yeah, this weekend I really felt bad and upset about my team lost.
Your team, UCLA?
Lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, by USC. They got speared.
What was the final score, Dewan? I didn't see that.
UCLA got 7 points, and USC got like 21 or 22 points.
Wow, that almost sounds like less than people were predicting.
Yeah.
I mean, it was supposed to just be a runaway.
I thought it was 28, but whatever it was, UCLA, you would expect them to lose by like 50 to this USC team. But
yeah.
Did you watch it on TV or did you go, Dewan?
I watched it on TV, Channel 7.
Channel 7.
And was it, before that, the USC students on USC campus, I saw on the news, they burned the Bruins.
Sure.
That's disrespectful.
It is. It is, but they kind of do it every year, Dewan. Like, that's kind of the thing where they kind of abuse each other's little mascot.
Yeah, our team will burn the USC Trojans down.
Okay, but it's not, Dewan, it's not literal. It's just they do it, you know, kind of as a joke.
They burn the mascot, basically, just to say, hey, here's what our football team's going to do to your football team. There's nobody is intending any kind of violence or any kind of harm to students. Or...
The like Bruin what? Will maul the Trojans.
They'll maul?
Wow.
M-A-U-L-E-R.
Oh, maul. Oh, yeah. Maul. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, you sound pretty fired up, I guess, about this, but there's always next year, dude.
Thanks.
All right.
All right, Dewan.
Bye now, Dewan.
It's the best. Let's talk to Sean in Camarillo. He's on line 4 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Sean. Good morning.
Hey, beautiful. Good morning, Bean. How are you?
Good. What it do?
Good, good. What it do? What it do?
What's
what
going
do,
on?
Baby Blue. What's up, Lisa? What's up, Kevin? Hey, this is Sean out in Camarillo, and I'm calling about myself and 9 high school buddies. We went to the AC/DC concert at the so-called Fabulous Forum Saturday night.
Oh,
it's been a while since it's been fabulous. How was the AC/DC show?
Oh, AC/DC show, phenomenal. Angus Young, for a 50-year-old guy, I mean, that guy went for 2.5 hours nonstop.
Wow.
It was awesome.
Mike, what was your
take
on him and his clothing?
I know it's become his trademark is the little schoolboy outfit and everything, but I wonder if there is an age when you have to take that off.
When you have to go, I'm no longer in a schoolboy outfit.
I'm not saying it's not cool still. I'm just saying, is there an age when he is, in fact, not allowed to wear a schoolboy outfit?
Yeah, he stripped all the way down to just his shorts. Just shorts and little black tennis shoes.
Good times.
Wow.
Now, do you get the feeling at the show that all AC/DC songs are interchangeable? Or are they able to distinguish one from another?
I think the guitar riffs, you know, I think the music's a little bit different. But Brian Johnson, while not Bon Scott, I mean, he's a showman too.
Yeah.
I mean, they did a great job. They did the whole, you know, 30 years of AC/DC music from, you know, early, their mid-1970s, you
Excellent.
Know, TNT album all the way to their recent album. So it was a whole gamut. It was awesome.
Sounds fantastic.
Forum freaking dump. I won't go to a concert again at the Forum. Honda Center, Staples Center only.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call. Yeah, it is. It has run down a great amount. Let's go to Rudy in Grand Terrace. Hey, Rudy.
What do you do, nephew?
Hi, Rudy.
What do you do, baby boo?
What do you do?
What's going on?
Man, I want to talk about the De La Hoya Pacquiao fight.
Yeah, I didn't see a fight, but...
Yeah, if that's what you want to call it.
I don't know that I've ever seen... Maybe I have. I don't know that I've ever seen someone just give up. Just, I can't... do any better. I'm getting beat up. I'm just going to just throw in the towel.
Hey, as long as he shows up, he gets paid, though. So, I mean, it's worth it to get in there and take it for a few minutes and then just give up and get the money, right?
He did. Yeah, he took it.
Yeah, the money's good, but, you know, he might as well just be a mariachi singer or something.
Yeah, it was pretty much like that. Manny Pacquiao, much smaller, and just destroyed him in every way.
Outboxed him big time.
Oh, that was rough. That was rough to watch. Even if you're not a De La Hoya fan, it was kind of rough to watch because you want to see a fight. You want to see a good fight.
You don't want to see someone just humiliated.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what happened.
Let's close with just real quick with Jeff in Whittier. He's got an extruded update for us on Line 8, and then we'll tell you about this morning's action-packed Kevin and Bean show.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, what up, Lucky Bud?
What's going on with extruded?
Hey, extruded is anything that's like pushed through a hole. Like,
Whoa! I want to be extruded.
Oh, man.
So, wait. Tell me how hot Cheetos are pushed through a hole. What do you mean by that?
Are we still talking about food?
They're pushed through a hole before they're hot.
Okay, so that's how they're made, you mean?
Yeah, when they're made, they, like toothpaste,
that's how they form
squeeze
them.
You squeeze it out of the tube, and then they just keep cutting pieces off.
So it's like plastic pushed through a tube in a hole.
Yeah. Okay. It's barely food.
That is good food right there.
That has to be good for you, right?
Oh, absolutely. They're healthy. Yeah.
Well, no, you question just want yourself that. A family-sized bag of Flamin' Hot Cheetos. And, of course, if people wonder why we're giving away hot Cheetos, it's because we agree with this young lady.
When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy. I just love hot Cheetos. I love you so much.
All those kids are having so much fun. And they don't know anything about extruded.
Nope.
That's right. They just know it tastes good. And it makes their booty burn.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show. It's Monday, the 8th of double December.
These big cans are one-third larger.
And today we have details on how to buy tickets for K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008.
Finally.
Fantastic.
7:15. Purchase details. People always just assume they missed it. And they write to us and say, hey, I missed when tickets goes away. We haven't announced it yet. You haven't missed it yet. 7:15 this morning.
I think some of that is that most concerts, tickets go on sale a few months before the show's coming. So it does confuse you when you get this close and you still can't buy them. But today's the day we'll have those details for you.
Tell you more about the Oscar De La Hoya fight and how, what's the dude in the ring? What's the old?
The announcer guy?
Jim Lampley?
Nope, the old guy that really needs to retire.
Oh, gosh, I don't
He got beat up worse than De La Hoya, I think. He's so awful, that guy. The guy that does the in-ring interviews afterwards.
Oh,
I just despise him with everything in my heart. Mr. Skin will be on the program today.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Talking
Love
about
Mr. Skin.
The 20 top TV film nude scenes of 2008.
All right.
I wish he were President Skin. That's how much I love that dude.
I would vote for him as well. We're going to talk to the Icky Twins today. The Icky Twins talking about the double shot of love. See, because they're both looking for love. And they're twins.
What are the chances?
That's crazy.
Twin sisters, bisexual twin sisters, Ricky and Vicky will be joining us in about an hour.
TMZ with Harvey Levin. We'll talk to him in the 6 o'clock hour, find out what went on over the weekend. I'm sure you saw the O.J. Simpson thing. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Good times.
Well, the judge schooled him, didn't she?
She was not happy.
I couldn't tell whether you were arrogant or stupid, but I've come to the conclusion that it's both.
Both, yeah. bad Christmas songs. And we have more tickets for you to go to the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas coming up that you can win as well, besides the on-sale information.
Okay.
So that's all coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, we'll take a look at the NFL and the weekend of games and what went on over the weekend. But first, we'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Schulman.
Not only will we give you details on how to buy your tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008 at around 7:20 this morning, but we'll give you a chance to call in and win them with a game we'll play later. And there's always a song to be listening for. Go to krock.com to find out what it is and be caller 20 when you hear it. So we definitely have you covered with your tickets. Monday morning, 5:52, Ralph Garman joins us in studio. How are you, Ralph?
I am still hungover. That's a bad sign, right?
I'm hearing rave reviews about your party, though.
It was a blast.
Your party's been over now for 24 hours, and you're still hung.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah. That's a good sign, I think.
Yeah.
I think so, too.
It's a good party, yeah. It was a blast, and everyone, thanks to everyone who came, and I think we all had a good time. And
did you turn anyone away?
Because
they didn't RSVP?
No. I'm pretty sure people were just coming in off the street.
I'm pretty sure. A lot of people you didn't know?
It got a little out of control at some point, where my entire house was full of people. I looked around and said, I have no idea who any of these people are.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's a good sign, too. But no, it was really a blast, and everybody had a good time. It's my wife's doing. I mean, we kind of come up with the ideas together, but she's the one who pulls the trigger, and she put that whole thing together, and she just has a knack for that kind of stuff. So it was a good time. Lisa was there.
Lisa was raving.
Had a great time.
Psycho Mike was there late. later than I thought he'd be. He was like actually hanging out.
I was boogieing down, dude.
We had the fight on the living room, so
would
everybody
you say
was watching
he was
and screaming.
Boogieing down?
He wasn't so much boogieing down, no. Jenny was there. His lovely wife is there, so I didn't care how long he stayed because that meant she would stick around.
Right. Sure. Psycho Mike tells me that he decided to eat whatever he wanted at your party, Ralph, which I think you know that's pretty rare for him.
He was telling me what was on all the little cupcakes.
There's a box, by the way, of those miniature cupcakes in the other room. We had some leftovers.
Where were those from? Those are amazing.
From Yummy Cupcakes. Mm. I'm not getting any kickback. It's just the name of the company.
I was giving her the flavor breakdown.
You did.
Of all the cupcakes.
Came over and ran it down.
Chocolate
for
cappuccino
me.
Was my personal favorite.
Did you have
favorite.
Any?
Peanut butter ones.
Peanut butter was good, too.
You had it?
Yeah,
or did you just lick it and throw it away?
He smelled it.
It was festive. It was a party environment. Wow. I said, I'm gonna go all out. I'm gonna enjoy my.
That's rare for Mike.
We had
sugar.
Little burgers going around as appetizers.
Love
little
those.
Tiny cheeseburgers and bacon cheeseburgers and stuff.
Love
Mike
those.
Was eating them with the bun.
Wow,
whole thing, entire thing, pop in his mouth. It was madness. He went off. He's probably still hungover.
Bun biggity bun bun.
He's probably still hungover too. Yeah. All that crazy eating.
Yeah,
all that
insulin hangover.
Nutty eating.
But Dave King of Mexico there, Alex was there, Lightning was running around.
Where's the Batcave? I just want to see the Batcave. Where's the Batcave?
First thing, when he's screaming, he's a kid.
Yeah.
Lightning is so So he comes in, he walks in, he's in there for maybe 45 seconds. Yeah, that I-beam right there on that part of the house is nice. I bet they use a U-bolt on that. Oh, good refrigerator. Good, solid refrigerator.
Yeah, he was giving everyone the critique of my new home.
That's bizarre. I wouldn't have thought that in a million years.
You know, Lightning likes to break it down.
But tell people what I think of the beams.
What the hell? But K-Rock was well represented. Kevin, you were missed. Everyone was asking where you were, and I said you had your charity function, so you couldn't attend.
It was a long weekend, but I would have liked it.
Bean, no one mentioned you so much.
No one asked about me at all.
Really?
Not
really.
Didn't
even come up.
Okay.
But the Batcave was a big hit. I'm happy to say that.
Of course.
That is an amazing room.
It's amazing.
Did you have like an electronic sensor on every item or something so that
the cases were locked, by the way, before the party. So in case anyone tried to get wise.
Yeah.
Ralph, I'm going to be in town this coming weekend for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas tour.
The answer is yes.
Can I swing by?
You can,
but you're going to be joining us at the show, though.
I'm doing it via hologram.
But can I come by and see the Batcave, though? I'd really like to see the Bat Museum.
I think it's closed for repairs.
Maybe Bean could stay with you.
Oh, I'll just stay at your house. That's a great idea. Why get a hotel?
Is that a yes?
I'm hungover. Don't do this to me. My system can't take it. I might break down.
We are going to check in with our friend Eli Manning after the news at 6. Catch up on all the exciting NFL action over the weekend. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Monday morning.
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Four Christmases continues to capture the holiday spirit with moviegoers. $18.2 million it made. Making it number one, Twilight was number two with a little over $13 million. Then Bolt, Australia, Quantum of Solace still hanging in the top five. Madagascar 2, Transporter 3, Punisher Warzone in its debut weekend only made $4 million.
Ooh.
That makes it number eight. Cadillac Records in limited release made a little over $3 million, made it number nine. And then Role Models rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Congratulations to Katie Holmes. Her marriage is for real.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Really?
And we know that because...
She had breakfast with an interviewer of New York Times Style magazine, and she said she does not appreciate people insinuating her marriage isn't the real deal. She told the interviewer that she fell in love with her husband when they first met.
Mm-hmm.
Tom is a warmest man she's ever known who makes her feel so amazing. Then as they were at breakfast, she spelled out in her alphabets, "Help me."
I'm in love with Katie Holmes. I'm in love with Katie Holmes. I'm not gay. Go see my new movie. I'm in love with Katie Holmes. I'm not gay.
Yeah. Amy Winehouse may be on the road to recovery.
Nope. Really?
Yes. British newspaper says that the hot mess managed to get out of her hospital bed for a few hours to go back to work. She stopped into a recording studio and then at a friend's house before heading back to the clinic where she's reportedly undergoing treatment for bad reaction to prescription medication.
Well, certainly.
Yeah. I had a bad reaction to Jack Daniels Saturday night.
But you're not in the hospital.
I'm not in the hospital, but I'm not going around saying it's some sort of medical problem either.
Yeah.
Unless it's self-medication. But they say she's actually starting to sober up and is eager to get back to work.
And after only a month in the hospital.
Yeah, how about that?
A month.
More hospital news regarding celebrities. Shia LaBeouf apparently has not recovered from the injury that he suffered in his DUI accident last July. Fox News is saying he has to drop out of an upcoming film, Dark Fields, because he has to undergo more surgery on that hand.
Wow.
Mm. They're speculating the condition's more severe than anyone believed when the accident first happened and that his hand was completely shattered and needs some more reconstructive surgery.
Has anyone seen pictures of the hand? Is it all janky?
I have not seen the hand.
Mm-mm. I don't know the word janky either.
Do I know janky?
I know jankum. That's not good.
Jankum is not good. You're absolutely right.
That's the butt hash.
That is butt hash. That's extruded, I think, when you smoke it. You know what I always think when I hear extruded?
Right.
What?
That word for me?
Butt hash.
Not butt hash. It's, remember the Playboy fuzzy pumper?
Oh!
The Play-Doh. Not the Playboy, Play-Doh. Remember the Play-Doh toys as a kid?
Yeah.
The fuzzy pumper, like fire truck, where you'd put the Play-Doh in and you push the handle down. And
then it forces its
It extrudes out? That stuff out of the holes. That's how I was always described about extruding.
Got
the extrusion
it.
Process. So there you
Mike,
go.
Isn't the fuzzy pumper one of the movies that you're doing for Wicked?
No, he's an Armenian porn star.
No, it would be like a bald little guy and you'd put Play-Doh in his head and you push the lever down and hair would grow and be extruded out through holes in the
yes,
top of his head.
I think that's exactly how it works with the Cheetos.
That's how Cheetos right. work, yeah.
So. They come out of a guy's head?
There. And Star Magazine claims that Heidi Montag and Spencer Pratt are lying.
Really, what a surprise.
About
their wedding in Mexico that was supposedly happened on a whim.
Sure.
Apparently, they say there's a source that tells them that the thing was completely staged and planned in order to grab headlines.
That is not surprising at all.
So apparently, Spencer isn't the romantic margarita swilling guy we all were led to believe on the beach that day when he said, let's go get married.
So disappointed.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We all thought the best of them.
Mm-hmm. Have fun being married to Satan!
I'm out of time, but join me in an hour when I talk about Britney Spears and her boobs, because it's a great story.
Oh, I'd love to hear that.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Kim Basinger is 55 years old today. Crazy. Terry Hatcher turns 44 years old. Sinead O'Connor is 42. Crazy.
Give her a bell.
Yeah. Pretty.
For a bald chick, she's pretty hot.
Yeah, but
well,
that's
she hasn't
a
been
strange
bald for
category.
A lot of years, but.
Yeah, I think she's attractive.
Huh. She's very pretty. Yeah.
Crazy. Crazy.
Kevin, you should love her. She's got beautiful eyes. Beautiful, big eyes.
But isn't she like some renegade female priest now? Isn't that what she does?
She was for a while. I think that was a phase she went through.
She's a weird cult sect of Catholicism that let women be priests. And she was just going off about that for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's honked.
Burning pictures of the Pope or whatever she was doing.
Good times.
And two Lost cast mates, Dominic Monaghan and Ian Somerhalder, both celebrate their birthday. Dominic is 32, and Ian, who played Boone on that show. It doesn't seem like it was a million years ago where Boone was on that show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A million years ago when Lost was on the air.
That's true. He is 30 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
First
football time.
I was watching a little bit of that Giants-Eagles game yesterday. You know, we all feel like we need to keep up with the Eagles because we need to know how Ralph's going to feel when he comes in on Monday.
Sure.
And I saw our little retard friend Eli Manning, and he did not look very happy at the end of that game. He did not look like he was having a great day. But we've got him on the phone with us right now to find out what went wrong yesterday. Good morning, Eli.
Hi.
Oh, Eli.
Hi.
You're always so excited. Oh, Eli.
We lost the Super Bowl.
That was not the Super Bowl, Eli.
No.
It was just a game.
It wasn't?
No, it was not the Super Bowl.
Yay!
You're okay.
Yeah, you're still 11-2. I think you're going to be fine, Eli. You're at the point in the season where you can afford to lose some and not worry about it.
Yeah, that's what I say.
Now, did it
we're fine.
Did it hurt that it was Philadelphia?
Well, let's face it. The Philadelphia Eagles are the greatest football team in the world.
What?
So how could we expect to beat them?
Eli,
we know going in that we're going to lose to them. They're the greatest.
But you had beaten them like 6 out of the last 7 times you played them, though, Eli.
Luck! We were lucky before. Then they came and beat us.
This is odd to hear a quarterback for the New York Giants say this.
It was our own fault, really. We blew the game.
You did?
We shot ourselves in the leg.
There were some suggesting that the officials had this game in the bag because they're just trying to make it interesting.
Whatever. 11-2, go Giants!
11-2 is nothing to be ashamed of.
No, you're fine.
Yeah, we're in the NFC East champions because the Cowboys lost to the Steelers.
How great was that?
Tony Romo threw an interception at the end
and
lost the game.
At least the guy didn't run it back 100 yards the very last play, pretty much. Yeah, that was sweet.
And then the Arizona Cardinals are the champs of the West.
They clinched the mighty NFC
West.
West South.
With the powerhouse Seattle Seahawks.
Yep. How do you beat that team?
So they're first time ever division champions.
Is that true? I don't even know.
Yes.
Okay.
First time in they've gone to the playoffs since they were in St. Louis, right?
Yes.
All right, so?
Stupid Kevin. You're from there.
I am from there, yeah.
And then the Bengals almost beat the Indianapolis Colts.
Nope,
yeah.
wasn't even
35-3.
Wasn't even close.
Still, and he almost beat him.
Yeah,
not even.
You hate this. You hate it on weekends when Peyton wins and you lose, don't
Peyton
you, Eli?
Peyton is so good.
He is.
I hate him.
What do you mean you hate him?
No, don't hurt Peyton. Don't hurt Peyton. Don't hurt Peyton.
You're both good.
Oh,
it's okay.
You get all the commercials.
That's true.
Well. Oh, you can't read, Eli.
You should take a hike. Yeah, this is nice weather. Screw you! I want a funny commercial.
You can't be too jealous of Peyton if you're the Super Bowl MVP and champion of the world with your Giants.
But I don't do Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, well, that's true.
I want to be funny.
Yeah.
Well, you are, sort of. You just don't know it, Eli.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Retard Strong.
That's not a joke, Eli.
See, I can be funny.
Yes, you can. Nicely. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 22 minutes after 6 o'clock. 1 hour from right now, details on how to buy tickets for K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008. And we're giving away pit tickets for both nights.
Dude.
Wow.
When you hear the song you're listening for.
And backstage passes? Is that what I understand?
I read that one place, but not two others, so I don't know.
Okay. We'll check on that.
Trying to get to the bottom
out.
Of that.
Plus, believe it or not, they are replacing Tila Tequila on Shot at Love, and they are the Icky Twins, Ricky and Vicky, bisexual twins in a show that debuts on MTV Thursday, I think it's today. So we'll be talking to them coming up in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, how about our friend Harvey Levin, TMZ.com, back on the line. Good morning, Harvey. How was your weekend, my friend?
It was good, guys. How was yours?
Fantastic.
We were down in Fullerton for the Miss Double December pageant on Friday, and after the show, Dave the King of Mexico and I went to play miniature golf. But before we could play miniature golf, we had to sit in the car and listen to the judge berate OJ for about 15 minutes as to all the reasons why she hated him before she sentenced him to all those years in jail. It was very satisfying, Harvey.
You know, it's funny. Somebody came up to me over the weekend and said, I forgot how they put it, was this injustice or poetic justice? And you know what? It was both.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah. I mean, he really did get. I mean, nobody should get 33 years for that except him.
Yeah. But he didn't get 33 years, did he?
Well, he got 9 to 33, and a lot depends on behavior in prison. Fact is, he's going to prison.
Yeah.
Yeah. At his age, he's going to prison.
Yeah,
now, let me
age,
ask you about
going
this.
To prison.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about this, Harvey, because I know you are an attorney and you do have some insight into things that go on in the courtroom. The judge pretty much already had her mind made up what she was going to give him. I assume in most cases they've done the research and they know what their ruling is going to be. Does it make any kind of difference at all what the person or the person's attorney stands up and says ahead of sentencing when they get a chance to speak up for themselves? Because OJ, for instance, I don't think did himself any favors with his rambling speech that he intended for us to feel sorry for him about.
Well, I mean... That was a compound question.
Yeah, it was.
But I can
give us a compound answer.
Okay, I'll give you a compound answer.
All right.
First of all, probably it's supposed to matter. It's supposed to be taken into consideration. But the fact is, unless there's really something shocking, it doesn't make a whole lot of difference. I mean, they get these pre-sentencing reports. And with OJ, you know, it's not like nobody knows his record. I mean, it's funny. There was an old Nicole Brown Simpson 911 tape where she called 911 and she said, subject is OJ Simpson. I think you know his record.
Right, right.
Well, this judge knows his record.
Right.
And you know what a schmuck he is and what he's done over the years. And as for what he said in court, I mean, it is so incredibly consistent with everything about him, you know, for his adult life. I mean, where everybody else is to blame, he did
right.
nothing wrong. You know, it was like, you listen to it and you just think, it is like a snap, you take any given snapshot in time,
yeah.
and he is exactly the same person.
Will he be in some sort of isolation in prison, or is he going to be the rock star of the jail where everybody is going to love him and take care of him because he's popular and famous?
Well, I don't think he's going to be in isolation, but, you know, sad to say, he probably will be a rock star in jail. I mean, the fact is that you know, even when he was living down in Florida, and this is so disgusting. I mean, people would come up to him all the time and ask for his autograph.
Yep.
And, you know, part of it was he was just a freak show. But part of it was, I mean, people are just, so many people are stupid. I mean, this was just, you know, it almost didn't matter to them about, you know, the two people were butchered. It was just like, oh, wow, I saw him on TV. It was a
right.
famous trial. They wanted to be near him. So he got that treatment in Florida.
Right. And final question on OJ. She went out. The judge went out of her way to say she's not punishing him for past crimes.
She sure did.
You sure got the feeling? I don't know. I mean, did it?
She does protest too much.
Yes. Well, I mean, she knows she's going to get attacked for that. I imagine.
Right.
Well, two things. I mean,
but he didn't get something that was out of character for his crime, did he?
Kind of. I mean, he has.
Good.
I mean, come on. I mean, this was 10 seconds, and it's kidnapping and right. all these things. You know, and it's. It really did seem excessive on the one hand, but if they had to be excessive against anybody, I'm sorry, I know I shouldn't say it, but, you know, whatever. what I think is really interesting is they offered him a plea deal.
They
offered him a plea deal before the trial. This just came out over the weekend. And the prosecutor, it was just great. I mean, the prosecutor says that what O.J. wanted in the plea deal was just short of a public apology for arresting him in the first place. Again, which is just so typical.
Really?
Which is so typical. And he would have gotten a much better sentence had he taken the plea, and he took door number two, and thank
yep.
God.
How about that?
Thank
yep,
God.
I heard that interview with the prosecutor where he said, I'm not going to tell you what it was, but what we offered him is a lot less than what he ended up getting, which is just...
Great.
It's hilarious.
It's just great.
All right, let's move on to a couple of other big names in the news over the weekend at TMZ.com. This is Harvey Levin on the phone. Our friend Bear Grylls, who's been on this show a couple of times, he is, of course, the host of Man vs. Wild, I guess, on the Discovery Channel. I guess it was only a matter of time before something went wrong and he got hurt out there, huh, Harvey?
Yeah, and I, you know what? Okay, I'm just going to admit it. I was traveling for the last 4 days,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not up on it.
Oh, look at that.
Okay.
But well, I'm sorry.
You should go to TMZ.com,
man.
They have all this great stuff. Apparently, he broke his shoulder in the Antarctic and had to be airlifted out. Which
wow.
is, I mean, you know, this is the guy, for folks who haven't seen the show, who puts himself in the worst places on Earth, the most difficult places in the world to survive, and he's by himself. And apparently, he broke his shoulder out there. I mean, that is just that's a bad deal right there.
You know what? He did something else. We put something else on. I hear TMZ also did something else on the side with him. Okay, now that I'm sufficiently embarrassed, can we talk about
sure.
Vinny Jones?
Let's talk about Vinny Jones. He is
sure.
the, what was he, is a rugby player in England? Is that where he's known from?
In England, and then he became a pretty big actor here, and he was in Transformers. He was in...
Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, right?
And Gone in 60 Seconds.
Yeah.
So, and you know, we always catch him with Jason Statham, and they're these two badasses that have lunch all the time on Sunset Plaza, and he's always the nice guy. So he's in South Dakota, and he's in a bar, and he sees these guys playing pool, so he walks up to the guys, and he says, I went in. And they said, you got to wait. And they said, oh, you're the guy in Transformers, and at least if you believe one of the guys, Vinny got upset because the guy didn't recognize his other movies.
Huh?
What?
So, come on.
No, well, that's what he said. So then you choose to believe it or not, but it's entertaining.
Yeah.
So so Vinny then apparently gets all out of joint, and he starts pushing this guy and gets in his face, and takes a swing, and this is according to one of the witnesses there, and the guy then takes a beer glass and just nails him in the face.
Wow.
Nails him in the face. And then apparently Vinny goes into the bathroom, and his face is just broken up, and we've got pictures of him just broken.
Blood everywhere.
Oh, I mean, you should see the bandages on him. We got it up there. So he goes into the bathroom, and then he starts fighting this other guy in the bathroom who was part of this pool game. And apparently Vinny had a little too much to drink.
Yeah, you think?
So he gets arrested. The guy who hit him with the beer glass gets arrested. And now here's why I really wanted to tell you the story, because this is my favorite part.
Yes.
So you know what he does the next day?
Right. Vinny Jones, no.
No. He does what he went up there to do. He was going pheasant hunting. That was what he went up for.
Pheasant hunting?
He went to kill pheasants. So here's the best part, and I got to kind of say this kind of softly because the person who said this is about 20 feet from me.
Okay.
So somebody in my office on Friday kind of sees this report that we got from South Dakota from the police.
Right.
And she just gets, like, almost hysterical, and she says, "Oh, my God," she said, "this is unbelievable." And she runs over to the assignment desk, and she says, "Vinnie Jones was there to kill peasants."
Oh, no.
I hope you printed that.
We didn't. I swore I would not tell the story, but when I knew I was talking to you, I just couldn't help it.
Well, you got to clean the place up and get rid of the poor people. Come on, Harvey. I think Vinny was doing the right thing. Yeah, these pictures of the guy in the fight, man. It looks like a crime scene. All this blood all over dude. I mean, it's rough.
It's really amazing. I mean, this was a brutal thing. I mean, Vinny was a brutal. Was it soccer?
I think it was rugby, but I'm not sure.
It may have been rugby.
Yeah.
Big dude, though. Big dude.
There's a famous picture of him grabbing this guy in the groin and just kind of twisting. And he was a really rough guy. But this was a crazy scene.
The fact that he fought after he got hit in the face with a beer blast.
No kidding.
Like, that doesn't end it. Unbelievable.
Absolutely.
Well, it's so great that there's never a shortage of celebrities to give you full-time 24/7 material for TMZ.com, is there, Harvey?
Well, if I could only stay up on the topic, so I don't get humiliated by you guys.
No, you're
not
fine.
At all. Not at all, Harvey. You're the best, man. TMZ.com and TMZ Television, weeknight 6:30 on Channel 11. Have a good meeting, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
See you guys.
Thanks, Harvey. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 7 o'clock.
I wish there was a way we could somehow get that on the air, Ralph.
Nope.
No, I don't think we can.
One of the best things that's ever happened on this show.
I know.
One
of the things that made us realize we talked about it, we'd have to cut it out.
I know. That Kevin is actually losing his mind, we learned on Friday, but unfortunately, he didn't make the air.
Use the word that dare not speak its name.
How dare you?
It certainly is. It's the Kevin and Bean Show, minutes away from announcing details on how you can buy your tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008. That'll be coming up in the next half hour. Ralph, tell me about your new friends, the Icky Twins. What's this all about?
Ricky and Vicky Icky.
Is that a joke?
No. That's not really their last name. They just call them the Icky Twins because it's Ricky, R-I-K-K-I, and Vicky, V-I-K-K-I. So they're the Icky Twins. Their names both end in Icky.
I gotcha.
But they are the new subjects of attraction in the brand new Shot at Love show on MTV that debuts tomorrow night. And this time, Tila Tequila is not in the equation.
Well, they killed her, right? Didn't they gang up on her and actually put her in the ground?
No.
Replaced her.
She's off being a publicity whore someplace else. I think they got tired of her not going out with anybody that won the game at the end.
Yeah.
And that becoming sort of public knowledge, and she's sort of become a joke. The show's become a joke as if it was taken seriously before.
Yeah, that's my point.
But I think they've upped the ante this time. I think they've done a little better, because now they've got two smoking hot blonde twins named Ricky and Vicky, and they are now the subjects of attention from a dozen lesbians and a dozen straight guys. They're both bisexual, identical twins.
Double Shot at Love debuts tomorrow on MTV, and the Icky Twins, Ricky and Vicky, join us on the phone in the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, you guys, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Hey, good morning.
Good. You are the self-proclaimed world's hottest twins, and I have to be honest, I can't think of anyone who's going to challenge that crown. You guys are pretty sharp.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, you're pretty sharp.
I'm not coming from LA.
Now, How did MTV find you guys? How did you get hooked up with the show?
They had quite a few auditions, I believe, and Vicky and I were interested in it before they even decided they were going to be doing a season 3. So we were really lucky to have the opportunity, and really lucky that Tila didn't actually do the season. So we had the chance to fill her shoes, and it's just been a whirlwind experience. It's been amazing.
But were you guys interested in going on the show when Tila was still the prize?
We wouldn't want to do that because we don't like competing against each other necessarily.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We realized that we were going to be competing against each other doing the show with us being like the main people. But yeah, competing with each other
you couldn't be competing more with each other than you are right now. Could you?
Is the point of the game for each of you to find one person, or are you both trying to find the same person?
That's a great
to find
question.
One person, but coming into it, we're just like, oh, this is going to be, fun or whatever. She'll like whoever, and I'll like whoever, and we'll end up all happy. We had no idea that we might be falling for the same people.
As much
of the competition as it ended up being.
Excellent.
Okay. We need some clarification on the bisexuality of you guys, Ricky and Vicky. Because it is MTV, and they are lying liars who lie. We suspect that it may just be something that they made up for, to get people interested to tune in to watch the show. What percentage would you say you guys are bisexual for real?
Yes, you're definitely bisexual for real.
No, you're kind of gay for pay, right? If it's a big show, you'll do it?
Identical twins, it's kind of hereditary, and, like, if
one twin is bisexual, there's a 50% chance the other twin is. And with us having the same environment as well, like, it's just really common that we would both have the same, like, sexual interests.
Now, have you promised to sleep with the winners? Or marry them?
The winners.
Marry them, date them, do something. Because
Tila never ended up with anybody.
Like, you want to sleep with the winners. Yeah. You're, you know, in love with them.
All right.
So you're really looking for love on this show?
Of course. We wouldn't have done it any other way.
Even if it helped your careers.
What's that?
Even if it helped your careers, you wouldn't do the show?
No, we're very real people, like, of course.
Yeah,
like,
I think you're going to see that, too. Like, I hope that comes across, at least in, like, the, you know, episode two or whatever, that we're really, really real, and we're really, really involved in this whole process. Like, we came into it, like, looking for love, and we really, really wanted to find love.
And, yeah, being there, I wasn't thinking about the cameras or my future or anything. I was just thinking about the people that were there and falling in love, and I honestly believe that I was more into it than some of the guys and girls that were competing for me. I was like, guys, I thought we were here to find love, like, not be on TV. Who cares about that? Let's, like, you know, love is the big picture here. But, of course, it was a lot of fun, and, of course, it's probably going to help our careers. But, ultimately, we did it to find loving boyfriends and girlfriends that liked each other so we could all four hang out and be, like, one big happy family.
Oh, you're
big bisexual family.
Your plan is to live in the same house.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Awesome.
I believe these. Am I wrong about this, ladies? You guys are the bizarre kind of sisters only found in Hollywood who have no problem making out with each other, right?
Oh my gosh! No, we are not that type. My sister, and she's gross.
She's not gross. I don't even know who's talking, but your sister's
not gross. You're gross. No, we've never, like, yeah, we sleep in the same bed, but we do that, like, completely innocently. We've never had a threesome.
Together.
Yeah, together, yeah.
How do you know whether you would like it or not, then, without trying? You know?
Well, I just wouldn't ever want to be in a turned-on, hot and horny state of mind with my sister anywhere near me.
Yeah.
Well, we have a surround with girls together, but when it gets to that point, one of us makes an exit.
I got you.
All right, let me ask you this, because having suffered through the first two seasons of The Shot at Love, we've seen some of the competitions that they make the contestants go through, eating pig vagina, naked cage dancing, stuff like that. Can you tell us anything about what you're going to be asking people to do in the name of true love on your season?
My favorite one is called Licky the Icky, and it's the best competition ever. They have two mannequins, and they're dressed like Ricky and I, except for they're wearing icing, and the competition is that they have to lick the most icing off in a certain amount of time. So they get down on their knees, and, like, they're really, like, licking the icky, and it's, like, the hottest thing I think I've ever seen in my life.
And let me just clarify, you're trying to find love with that.
By someone licking a mannequin.
Come on. Because I know that's how...
With these contests, like, Vicky and I, like, it was our ideas. We really wanted to do these things and see if they were going to be game for it, because we're game for anything. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you can't make fun of yourself and do fun things like this, then we don't want you around. And most of the contests we participated in, I ate everything that they ate. We did. We tried everything that they tried. It was just like, it was just having fun together.
This sounds like it must be seen to be believed, that it airs tomorrow night at 10 o'clock at MTV. It's called A Double Shot at Love with Ricky and Vicky. Ralph, I think our friend LaQuisha may have to watch this with voice.
I think so, too. I mean, who can miss people
licking
icing off a mannequin? It's so funny. Some girls have different rules about who they want to fall in love with. You know, I want a good guy with a good job. I want a guy with a sense of humor. I want a guy who can lick a mannequin clean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an important skill. All right, Ricky, Vicky. I don't know if we buy any of it, but we're going to watch.
And we hope you find true love.
We're in, and good luck, and you're lucky you're hot. All right. Bye now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:56. Ralph, you're not giving it.
Oh, come on.
What? What are you laughing at? I didn't say anything.
We can't say that still.
Oh, well done. If you want to win tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008, what night are we giving away tickets for here?
Only both in the pit.
Man, really?
Saturday night and Sunday night in the pit.
Tickets.
Yes.
Both nights.
Dude. You are going to have to earn them with a little game we like to call the hardest game in the world. And we'll be playing it right after the news. We're taking contestants right now who can join us this weekend at the Gibson Amphitheater, 1-800-520-1067. Your chance to win on the way. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Monday morning.
No matter how hard the game is, it's still not hard enough for that prize.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I agree.
We should make people eat glass or something for these.
Oh, that's tomorrow.
Jump through flames.
Eat glasses tomorrow.
Yeah.
Flames Wednesday.
Have a conversation with the Icky twins. Something really hard.
Yeah, something really painful. I want to thank, by the way, Omar for DJing my party this weekend.
He's
I didn't
good,
a chance to mention him. I left him out when we were talking about the party earlier, and he was one of the reasons the party was a success. He's a terrific, terrific DJ. Yeah,
he's way good.
He did a great job and really kept the party going, so I did not want to leave him out of the mix when talking about my party.
DJ Omar Khan.
And the cops just showed up once.
Oh, well.
So that's a success,
just
I think.
To check in.
We had these little girls dressed as Santa Claus who were valet parking the cars in front of the house.
Nicely done, by the way.
Whew, these girls were hot.
Yes.
And so I was showing off the Batcave to one of the guests, and the guy looks out the window and goes, dude, I don't mean to harsh your buzz, but the cops are in front of your house. He's looking out the window and said, oh, crap. So I got to get out there. I go to the front of the house and say, officers, I'm the owner of the house. Is there a problem here? And they said, yes. We got a complaint. The music is too loud. And I said, I apologize. I'll take care of the guys. Yeah, good, because we don't want to come back here. And then he looked at the girls and said, well, we do want to come back here. But we don't want to come back because the music's too loud. I understand completely. And I left, and they stayed another 20 minutes chatting with the valets.
Really?
I think it took the edge off of the complaint, quite frankly. So that's paid fantastic. Off on several levels for us. So.
I like it.
I sense the cops are at your house quite a bit. I sense it's, hey, Ralph, what's going on tonight?
Yeah.
It's one of those kind of deals.
You heard someone else screaming. We gotta check the basement for bodies, if you don't mind. So, guys, come on in. I'll get your cup of coffee. Good times. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays
already.
No, top 10 movies at the box office weekend. Let's do that. Four Christmases. People still in the Christmas spirit when it comes to movie going. $18.2 million made it number one. Twilight was number two with $13.2 million. Bolt was third. Then Australia. Quantum of Solace. Madagascar. Escape from Africa was number six. Transporter 3 was seven. Punisher Warzone in its debut made a paltry $4 million, making it number eight. Cadillac Records was number nine. And then Role Models, your 10th in the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Didn't get a chance to talk about it, but Friday, Boy George was found guilty in England of falsely imprisoning a male escort in his home last April.
What was his defense again?
His defense attorney said Boy George was too fat to have committed the crime.
That's the best.
Said, Your Honor,
that's
look at my
best
client.
Best defense ever.
He is obviously way too out of shape to overpower a strapping young 28-year-old Norwegian model.
And they didn't buy that?
They didn't buy that. No, he was found guilty of false
imprisonment. Guilty, 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 guilty!
More details came out towards the end of the trial as we found out that the 28-year-old Swedish male escort originally was chained and beaten by Boy George because George thought he had stolen illicit photos from his computer. He was angry about that. Wow. And then got angrier because the escort wouldn't have sex with him.
After that?
That's when he started beating him with a metal chain as he was handcuffed to his wall.
So,
what an escort doesn't have sex with you. That does make you pretty angry.
No kidding.
You're paying
that's
a
true.
Dude to have sex with you and he still thinks you're too repulsive to have sex with? That'd send any man over the edge.
Yeah.
Sure. That's what I think.
What's he getting? How much time? Do we know yet?
He will be sentenced on January the 16th, so we don't know yet what his time will be. But
he will not do well in prison.
No. I think he'll be a star.
Yeah, he'll be
like
the
OJ. Britney Spears is in the news. Proof that she is actually crazy. She has announced she wants a breast reduction.
What?
Oh, no. Unacceptable.
Yeah.
Reduction.
Yep, she wants.
She looks
her,
fantastic.
No, she thinks her boobs are too big.
I voted to make that illegal this past November 4th.
Did you vote on that resolution?
I did. I wrote that in.
Yeah. Apparently, she says I have a love-hate relationship with my boobs. At the moment, I hate them and want them smaller. I can't wear the kind of suits I used to love, like the red PVC one I got to wear in Oops, I Did It Again, for example. I don't feel streamlined. I want to have a breast reduction so I can slink into some of my amazing stage outfits for my next set of shows. I know they look sexy, but sometimes they get in the way.
Why, Brittany? Why?
Listen, your boobs are not the problem. If anything's gotten in your way over the years, it's your mouth. Why don't you have that removed? Leave the boobs and just sew your mouth shut.
Can you take your mouth out?
No, you can sew it shut, though.
Right.
You can epoxy it closed. You can do something.
Mighty Putty?
Mighty Putty, that's it.
Oh, there you go. Work.
Hey, here's some chewing gum, Brittany. Why don't you enjoy some of this delicious minty chewing gum? Mighty Putty.
Boom.
Problem solved.
She has a very proportional figure. She's not one of these stars that has a crazy, like, huge bust.
I don't think so either.
No. Understand where it's coming from.
No, we have to have her dad. Her dad still has a conservatorship over her life, right?
Oh, he can
think so. Yeah. He could overrule her.
Yeah, he's got to overrule that. That's a huge
mistake. Or let Joe Simpson run her career from now on.
Yeah.
Make her some cheese grits and just let her have her boobs. That's what I say. And an interesting lawsuit has been filed by guitarist legend Joe Satriani. He claims that the British rock band Coldplay stole the melody from his 2004 instrumental song I Can Fly for their massive hit Viva La Vida. Joe filed the lawsuit on Thursday. This is shortly after Coldplay and the boys were nominated for multiple Grammys. The guitarist is asking a federal judge to allow accountants to investigate how much money he's owed or that the band stops using the song forever, period.
Where was he when this album came out 4 months ago or whatever it was,
by the way? I have no idea. I have no idea why it takes these people so long to say, hey, wait a minute.
Hey, that sounds like me.
That's my song. Wouldn't you know that immediately the first time you heard a song, if you had written a song exactly like it?
I would think so, yeah.
However, the problem Coldplay has is... It sounds a lot like it.
Yeah.
We laid down a little audio so you can tell that you can listen to both back to back and see what you think.
It's, of course, the Coldplay, right? Seas that rise when I gave the
word. Now in the morning I sleep. It does sound a lot like it.
No, it is it.
That is it.
It is it. All right. And now here's Joe Satriani's version. Well, he's covering the Coldplay song right there.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
You want to hear them both together?
On top of each other?
Sure.
Wow.
That's very alike.
Wow. By the way, Ralph, isn't Viva La Vida, isn't this the same song that other guy sued them for, claiming that he wrote it? Remember that guy?
Yeah.
He said, Chris Martin was at one of my concerts in New York, and I played that song.
That's right.
Yeah. The song's a big, big pain in the ass for Coldplay.
They hadn't written it or stolen it, whichever one.
Yeah. They should just do that. They should release that version and give Joe some money.
Yeah.
We're going to put you on the record. There you go. Here's a cut.
Good idea.
You could be the sixth member of Coldplay, or however many there are. I don't know. Fifth Coldplayer. Today's celebrity birthdays: Ian Somerhalder. You know him from House. No, from Lost. He's in a movie called Life as a House. That's where I got confused. He is 30 years old today. Dominic Monaghan, speaking of Lost and Lord of the Rings, is 32. Sinead O'Connor is 42 years old today. Terry Hatcher from Desperate Housewives turns 44. Kim Basinger, who, from what I understand, is just the best ex-wife a man can have.
Yeah, oh yeah.
According to Alec Baldwin.
Very loving,
always
very
raves
kind.
About her.
Yes.
She level-headed, sure.
55 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
K-Rock Almost Used to Christmas 2008 turns out this Saturday and Sunday night.
Yes, it
sure is.
Is.
Yes, this weekend.
And right. For you, this week and right now, we have tickets in the pit for both nights and backstage passes for both nights.
Nice.
We are going to be giving them away right now and then telling you how you can buy them in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And if I understand correctly, Kevin, the way to win right now, really easy.
Very, very simple, yes.
Presenting the hardest game in the world.
Oh, that's right. It's not easy at all. Mr. Announcer Man, good morning. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
So this isn't going to be a simple way for somebody to win tickets? It's going to be tough?
Au contraire, mon frere. It's the hardest game in the world.
But a pretty big prize, so everybody that gets it's going to go into a drawing, and then you will get pit tickets for both nights and backstage passes for both nights.
What?
Yep.
That's too good for these people.
Mr. Announcer Man, you're coming to the shows, right?
Of course.
All right. Excellent.
You should tell our listeners before we go to contestant number one how the game is played in case they've never heard it before, Mr. Announcer Man.
We will play for you the name of bands featured on both nights of K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas. All you need to do is to identify the audio clip. Oh, wait a minute, I forgot. They'll be backwards!
Just so there's no understanding, there is no band...
Yes, there's no understanding.
Misunderstanding. There's no band playing both nights. It's from either night.
Okay.
And then you get tickets for both nights. All right, let's start with Philippa in Anaheim. Hey, yeah. Philippa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, did we interrupt? Are you busy, Philippa? Wish you hadn't called you?
Yeah.
I was putting on my shirt.
Oh, all right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, easy. Oh, she's a student at Santa Ana College. Okay.
Okay.
Mr. Announcer Man, you ready?
Yes.
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
We can only play them for you twice. Here it is one more time. This is one of the bands playing the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
AFI?
Yes!
AFI.
Not that hard, turns out. Very simple for her.
It's the hardest game in the world!
Not for Philippa.
Right. Take that top back off and then sit by the phone and wait to find out if you win in the grand prize drawing coming up. Who's our next contestant, Mr. Announcer Man?
Next up is Lewis. He's from Glendale.
Hey, Lewis.
Hey, what's up?
You ready for your band?
Yeah.
Here you go.
Seriously?
One more time.
Seriously?
Was that The Cure?
Close.
The Killers.
Oh. Nice try. Yeah. Nice try.
It's hard!
That is hard.
Next up is Al from Riverside.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Al. Hey,
Lisa May.
Hi.
You ready for your band?
Sure, guys.
Here you go.
Seriously? Nice.
One more time.
Still out for me.
Stone Temple Pilots?
Stone Temple Pilots.
Oh, wow. Yes! Done.
Well done.
Wow.
That was hard.
Not very, apparently.
But he got it.
He did get it. That's true.
Next up is Josh from Topanga.
Hey, Josh.
What's up, fellas? What's up, Lisa Nick?
Hi, Josh.
We have tickets in the pit for both nights and backstage passes if you can identify this band and you win the drawing. Here we go.
Oh, God.
One more time.
Rise
Against?
The Cure.
Not easy at all.
That is not an easy game. What's that noise, Mr. Announcer Man?
I'm just sad.
Oh.
For him.
Where are we going?
Kevin from Tustin.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, morning, guys. Lisa May.
Good morning.
Here's your band.
Nice.
One more time.
Nice.
Stained.
Yeah. Nice.
Wow.
Done. This is not that hard.
That's the smartest Kevin ever.
How dare you?
This game is poorly named.
Let's see how Jake from Pasadena does.
Hey, Jake.
Hey, hello, guys. Hello, Lisa.
Hello, Jake.
No pressure, but three people are already in the drawing.
I heard that.
Here you go.
Nerps fought.
One more time.
Nerps fought.
The Offspring.
Come on!
I've never had people get it more.
This is the hardest game in the world!
Turns out it
not
isn't.
Anymore.
We were wrong. Time for one more.
How about Wayne from Anaheim?
Wayne, good morning.
Morning. Death to Wayne.
All right, you ready?
Sure.
Here's your band.
Snake up. See ya.
One more time.
Snake up. See ya.
Scott
Weiland. Rise Against.
Sorry. Thank you for playing that. All right, Mr. Announcer Man, who do we have?
I don't know.
We have Philippa.
Mm-hmm.
We have Al.
Yes.
We have Kevin. We have Jake.
Yes.
All are winners.
Mm. And the winner is Philippa in Anaheim.
Yeah.
Philippa.
That was the first winner.
First person we talked to, Philippa.
Yeah.
Tickets to both nights.
Oh, my God.
In the pit, backstage passes.
Gosh,
for both nights.
So
take those clothes off! Run around naked!
All right, here are your ticket on sale. I could have said that better. Can I start again?
Yes, please.
Can I start again?
Take two.
All right. Here's how to buy tickets for K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008.
Saturday and Sunday night. Hips and Amps. Tickets on sale Thursday, 5 p.m. for night one, 6 p.m. for night two. And the only way to buy tickets is to be a member of the K-Rock Street Team. Sign up or update your info now at krock.com. And keep listening to Win Tickets in the Pit and Backstage Passes for both nights.
Proceeds benefit Pato Lucinos and the Al Wooten Jr. Heritage Center.
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008.
And knowing...
Already sold out. I can't believe it. I can't even buy tickets anymore. It's gone. That was it.
Don't do that. Thursday.
5 p.m. I misheard that. I'm sorry.
Thursday, 5 p.m. for night one. Thursday, 6 p.m. for night two.
Okay.
And if I know our company, which I do quite well,
yes.
It's amazing that we have figured out a way, and by we, I mean other people, to charge the same price as the last 2 years.
Yeah, you're right.
It's amazing that we were not forced into charging double. But it's $75 a night. I know that. I know that's a lot, but it's a lot of damn show.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, you get so much bang for your buck, and you're right. There's no way it's not more expensive to put on the show this year. That just means little kids who would benefit from the charity will cry more.
That is true.
It's less for them is all that means.
It is true. So it's $75 a piece plus the Ticketmaster charge, which is about $200 and per ticket.
Not quite that bad, but they do add their share. That's for sure.
Thursday at 5, Thursday at 6 is when it goes on sale. You do need to do it online only, and you need a password that you get by being a member of the K-Rock Street Team.
Okay.
So do this that between now and then.
Definitely worth mentioning, Kevin. Definitely worth repeating because, you know, for all the years we've been putting these shows on, for most of the years, you could line up or you could buy them by phone. That has not been the case for the last couple of years
right.
And will not be the case this year. It is online only through krock.com. You must be a Street Team member. And the beautiful thing is, super easy to be a Street Team member. It is free and you can register in about 5 minutes or less. So there's no excuse for you to not be a Street Team member anyway, because we do make tons of great offers available for you, give you tip-offs to when shows go on sale and stuff like that. But it's going to sell out like it does every year, and it's going to sell out fast. So you definitely want to have your ducks in a row before Thursday at 5 for night number one, Thursday at 6 for night number two. And of course, all this week on the Kevin and Bean Show and throughout the day at K-Rock, we are giving you tickets to both nights and pit passes and backstage passes. That just happened.
For both nights. Hasn't happened. Well, it did just happen, actually, with the hardest game in the world. But you're also listening for a song. I'm just going to tell you. I'm not going to make you go to the website,
okay.
For God's sakes. It's Bad Habit by The Offspring. That's the song we're going to play. When you hear me call her 20, and you'll win the backstage passes and the pits for both night of K-Rock's Almost Acoustic
Christmas.
So lucky. Thursday 5, Thursday at 6. Go to K-Rock.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, how about the best human being in the history of the world ever, Mr. Skin,
yeah.
Joining us back on the Kevin News Show on K-Rock. Hey, Mr. Skin.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. How you guys doing?
We should have thought of a skintro. What's wrong with
you? We should have come up with a skintro for him.
Oh.
Yeah, you're right. Mr. Skin, before we get on to the topic at hand, which is the top celebrity nude scenes of 2008, and we always look forward to your recap. Very sad news on your site this morning when we found out that Britney Spears is talking about breast reduction. How can we stop this, Mr. Skin?
I think that kind of surgery should be illegal as far as I'm concerned.
I agree.
It is sad news. Sad news.
You know what's funny is we were mentioning earlier, it doesn't seem like she's
not.
Right?
She's not
she
in
doesn't
that
have
category.
A lot to carry around.
I disagree that it should be illegal, obviously.
Well, of course, we're
come
being
on.
Facetious, but it should be, totally.
But her breasts are not ridiculous at all.
Right. They're not huge.
No.
They're not difficult to carry. I can't imagine.
No.
I don't know.
Well, her weight shifts a lot, though. She gets big sometimes.
Yeah.
I think she gains it in the chest, so.
It could be.
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Skin, let's talk about the yearly recap. Why don't we do the, what do you want to do, the top 10 movie nude scenes, according to MrSkin.com, for the year?
For anyone out there, every year I look at all the nude scenes for the year, and about this time I put together my best in nudity. This is the first year ever, though, that I've added I did a top 20 movie nude scenes at the site, but also a bonus top 10 TV nude scenes, because really... cable television nudity's been where it's at the last few years. The best nudity right now is coming from Showtime and HBO, and now
The
Stars.
Come on, Showtime and HBO.
Yeah, it's been great. So I had to make sure that I called out the great nudity on TV too. So two lists. Really, maybe I thought I'd go over some of the highlights with you guys. So, as an example, in the movie nudes, I have it number 10, Angelina Jolie in Wanted, getting out of the tub. This is her 13th movie she's been naked in.
Yeah.
One of the best butts you're ever going to see. That movie actually came out on DVD last week, too.
It's a good movie,
it
too.
It is,
it's
actually. Certainly fun to watch, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, the tattoo is pretty wild, too, back there. So.
And I love that, and there's a small list of women who win Oscars, yet are still willing to go nude in front of the camera, and Angelina's at the top of that list.
Right.
It's so awesome that she didn't get all, like, hoity-toity once she won the gold.
Right, because she really didn't have to show her butt in the movie, but
it
was a great thing that she did. So, number 9 on my best movie nude scenes of 2008, number 9 is Penelope Cruz in Elegy. I want to make a point right up front here that a lot of these movies you guys probably haven't seen.
I haven't seen most of the top 10.
It's my job to go through these movies and find the nudity for you. She would have been higher on the list, except for the fact she had just had sex with Ben Kingsley, Gandhi.
I had to
penalize her a few points for that.
All right.
Anyway, number eight, best movie nude scenes, Mina Suvari in Stuck. Do you guys remember a few years back when there was that case in Texas where a girl was driving? She hit a homeless man. He got stuck in the windshield and parked her car in the garage and went on with
That's
her
right.
Life. This movie's based on that.
Oh,
wow.
Awful.
That's a horrible thing, except there's some great Mina Suvari nudity to kind of pick up the mood. So,
well, there you go.
Yeah, Mina Suvari in Stuck is number eight.
All right.
Number seven, Amy Smart in a Kiefer Sutherland movie called Mirrors. A lot of people would know her as the hot chick who got naked in Road Trip, the Tom Green movie from about 2000. And this is her next nude effort since then, and it's very hot stuff getting into a bathtub.
I heard that Kiefer Sutherland movie, I think it came out at a time where there was a lot of other stuff out, and it kind of got lost in the shuffle, but the reviews I remember at the time were that it was a pretty good thriller.
Yeah, it's pretty scary, too. I don't want to say what happens to her in the tub, but definitely the part before the rough stuff happens.
It's not as sexy at the end?
Yeah, it's pretty violent.
All right.
But anyway, it's a horror movie. What do you expect? Number six, best movie nude scenes of 2008. Number six, in my only PG-13 movie here, Anna Faris in The House Bunny, she plays this Playboy playmate turned sorority babe, drops her towel in the sorority. It is so hot. And the fact that they showed nudity in a PG-13 movie, that's got to be applauded. So,
it's a good trend, right?
Yeah, I hope. We need more of it. So Anna Faris, House Bunny, number six. Now in the top five movie nude scenes, number five, Neve Campbell in I Really Hate My Job. And I got to say, this was a very daring nude scene by her because she did it in a crowded restaurant, completely naked with a glass of wine, lamenting on how bad her life is. And,
wow.
The fact that she actually, you know, to be an extra, how do you get an extra, make your $400 to sit
no
at the
kidding.
Restaurant? Would have been awesome.
Mr. Skin, since I'll probably never see I Really Hate My Job, does she just have some sort of a mental breakdown and just throw her clothes off in that crowded restaurant?
She's a waitress, and she just decides she gets naked, walks out, and just goes to a table and starts with a glass of wine and just starts talking, and the scene goes on forever, and she's completely naked.
I'd like to see that become a trend for waitresses.
Yeah, I agree. Public nudity, top 10 list coming soon.
Yeah.
So anyway, number four on the list, there's an actress named Asia Argento in a movie called The Last Mistress. Now, if American audiences would best remember her in the movie XXX with Vin Diesel. She's from Italy. She's been naked in 16 movies, not afraid to get nude. It's funny, her dad is a big movie director in Italy. She loves to get naked so much, she's even been naked in some movies he's directed.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
yeah. All right.
Creepy.
A little weird.
Creepy!
Asia Argento in The Last Mistress is number four. Now, the top three movie nude scenes of 2008. I love this scene. Heather Graham in a movie called Adrift in Manhattan. You have to get, guys, the unrated version of this movie because the sex scene at the hour and 11-minute mark goes on much longer and is much better than the same scene in the regular version.
I haven't heard of almost any of these movies. How did they come out and get past us all?
Well, but you know what? That's my job. It's
all
my
right.
job to go through these and share them with you. Because if
now,
I
from
did,
what I understand,
I don't know if anyone would ever remember these
I
movies.
Think, yeah, I think you're right, Mr. Skin. I think you're the one who's reminding us why these movies should have been made in the first place.
Right.
Now, it's called Adrift in Manhattan, but it could have been called Heather Graham Doggy Style, right?
Yeah, thank you. I was trying to be very politically correct on that, but you hit it right on the head. You have to see that scene because you've never seen Heather Graham look like that. So anyway, number two on the list is a girl named Sophie Monk from a movie called Sex and Death 101. She's was raised in Australia. She looks exactly like Brigitte Bardot, if you don't know. She's like a modern-day Brigitte Bardot. And she's been in the news lately because Paris Hilton's been dating Benji Madden, or was dating Benji Madden from the rock
right.
Good Charlotte. And she was Benji Madden's boyfriend prior to that. So there was a lot of controversy in the press about Paris stealing Sophie's boyfriend. But I don't know how Benji Madden got this Sophie Monk, to be honest, because she is ridiculously hot and completely naked in Sex and Death 101.
Absolutely gorgeous. She looks like a younger, hotter Jessica Simpson, right, Mr. Skin?
No, that's a great point. That's a great point. So she's great. But my number one movie nude scene of everything movie-wise I saw this year, my favorite, and I have to admit that 3, 2, or 1, I could have flipped the coin here. They were all great. But Misha Barton in Closing the Ring. Now, she's best known as Marissa on The OC. She had never been naked, always very important when choosing top lists. But also, what I loved about it, not only did she look great topless, but great lighting. I always say, what good's a hot nude scene if a beautiful actress is naked, but it's so dark you need a coal miner's hat to see it? This is very in great lighting. So Misha Barton, her nude debut in Closing the Ring, tops the list of best movie nude scenes of 2008.
I kind of wonder, because I am a Mr. Skin fan, and of course MrSkin.com is the site that we're referencing this list. You can see pictures and video from all of these movies. I got the feeling that you've had the crush on Misha Barton for some time, and you've really just been waiting for this day to finally happen where she gives it all up in the movie.
Oh yeah, and I am not alone. I mean, there's been guys, you don't know how many, since I launched the site in 1999, how many emails or questions I've had through the years being interviewed, like, hey, has Misha Barton ever been naked? When's Misha Barton going to get naked? Well, guys, it's happened, and rejoice. She looks great. So, you know, I love the nude scene, but basically it was tough to even narrow down to just 20, to be honest with you. So.
Sure. Now, Mr. Skin, we don't have time to go through the whole list on the TV scenes, but I just, since you mentioned that it's the golden age of nudity on cable TV these days, what are, just give me a couple of the shows that our listeners ought to be checking out if they want to see some boobs on their TV.
Well, for sure. I mean, your old standbys like Entourage for sure, and The L Word are must sees. But newcomers like Californication, that's in its second season, is great. There's a new show on Stars called Crash. But without question, the hot one right now is True Blood on HBO, the vampire thing. And two of my girls that made the top five, Anna Paquin, was topless in True Blood, and Lizzie Kaplan, which was probably the best nude scene I saw of anything, her in True Blood topless, her very first nude scene was my favorite of everything in 2008. And not only are these cool shows that are fun to watch, they're getting like hot young chicks naked on a regular basis. There's so much competition, I guess, for eyeballs on these cable TV series that they're saying, heck, if we're going to do shows, we're going to have hot chicks naked. And I guess we all win, which is good.
And I know she made the list, but I was so happy to see after, what, three seasons now, Mary Louise Parker, This Is the Year on Weeds, that she finally started showing it, because she had a lot of sex scenes before, but she was always super covered up until this year, and she really went for it.
No, you bring up a great point. And the thing is, Mary Louise Parker was my second favorite TV nude scene of the year. And she's 44 years old. I mean, most of the girls that get naked in movies or television are in their 20s or at least early 30s. To see a 44-year-old, this is awesome. And you're right. I'm a big fan of hers, and I'm happy that not every nude scene is done by someone in their early 20s. I like to see it spread into the 30s and 40s.
Well, let's not get crazy.
MrSkin.com is the site. You ought to check it out. I mean, I don't even know how to describe how much material is up on your site, but it's thousands and thousands of hours of video and millions of pictures. I mean, it's unbelievable. You have cataloged Hollywood going back as far as you can to find these pictures. You're doing the Lord's work as always, Mr. Skin.
Well, thank you very much. I love my job, and thanks again for having me on, you guys.
The most annoying Christmas songs of all time in the 8 o'clock hour. Boy, there's a lot to choose from.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, listen, how do you beat that? As a matter of fact,
how do you beat that?
A lot of people might suggest it's time to retire the singing dogs. Others might say maybe the chipmunks aren't as funny as they might have been the first 2,000 times you heard them. But we'll discuss coming up after 8 o'clock, plus a recap of the Oscar De La Hoya fight, or should I say the Manny Pacquiao fight coming up over the weekend.
It wasn't really a fight there as much.
As much as it was a surrender, right?
Was that one-sided?
Yeah.
Much more so than I expected.
Ouch.
I thought Pacquiao would win, but I thought De La Hoya would put up a fight.
Try at least, right?
He looked like Larry King in there. He just didn't know what to do, couldn't move. It's crazy.
The guy just said, all right, I'll fight. He hadn't been training for 3 months leading up to it. Like, he just, they picked him out of the crowd.
How much did Oscar make for the fight? Do you know, Ralph? Because I know Manny made a guaranteed $11 million, and then possibly more once the pay-per-view dollars are counted.
I don't know what he made as a fighter, but in combination with his production team and everything else, I mean,
probably cleaned up.
Yeah, he probably made it.
It was worth getting the hell beaten out of him.
Yeah, for 40 mil or whatever you end up getting.
Wow.
7:56 Monday morning. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with another look at the showbiz beat.
Yes?
Sorry.
What's the problem?
Just rough, man.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just having a rough time. I got to bed around 7 a.m. after my party on Saturday.
Excellent.
Wow.
Excellent.
And then set my alarm for 10 a.m. to get up to watch the Eagles-Giants game.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. You don't just TiVo that and just sleep?
No, you can't TiVo sports. It's happened after the fact. It's all the excitement out of it.
All right, so you got, so you got 3 hours of good sleep.
Then I went back to bed at 1, whenever the game was over, and got up again around 5. And I said, I had the best dream. I had a dream that the Eagles beat the Giants.
That happened.
So cool.
That just happened.
And then I was like, what? It happened?
Yep.
So it was a good weekend.
So you feel fresh this morning.
Yeah, my liver is flipping me off inside my body. Let's talk about the entertainment news. Top 10 movies at the box office this week and Four Christmases. Still number one, $18.2 million made it so. Twilight came in at number two, $13 million. This on the day of the announcement that the director of that film, Catherine Hardwicke, will not be directing the sequels.
What?
Wow. How'd they already make that decision?
Because apparently everyone involved with making the film hates her.
Oh, okay, good.
So she has been bumped from New Moon, which is the sequel, and apparently they're going to try to shoot the third one back-to-back with this one, apparently. So she will not be helming it.
That's a little bit of a surprise, considering what a box office bonanza it has become.
Yeah. I think it may have had something to do with she wanted more money to do the special effects better, and then it sounded like the production company and the movie company was like, no, we can do it with this kind of case. So I think maybe that's where they parted ways.
Well, apparently her and the producers did not get along, but she didn't get along either with the DP, who everyone is saying is responsible for the sort of the cool look of the film, the director of photographer. Director of photography.
Oh, sorry. I was thinking of the other.
And I guess they basically just didn't want to put up with her. And they figured this is a slam dunk. And it doesn't really matter who's helming it. And they'll just find someone else who's manageable and put them in that slot. And then the movie will do just as well. So, of course, the statement today is, Catherine and the studio have decided to part ways on the sequel because our visions are different.
That's so nice.
This comes from the producers. That's so nice. They're parting ways. Third at the box office, Bolt. Then Australia, Quantum of Solace, Madagascar 2, Transporter 3, Punisher Warzone, in its debut, made just $4 million, making it number 8, Cadillac Records, and then Role Models, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend.
Any of us seen Australia yet?
No,
I still haven't gotten to it.
No, still not.
I don't think I will.
Jessica Simpson is just head over heels in love with Tony Romo.
Even after this weekend?
Even that's how much she loves him. Even
really?
After that pick that cost them,
she should be in love with Ben Roethlisberger this weekend.
Wow!
Us Weekly reports she dedicated 3 different songs to Tony at a concert in San Antonio, Texas. She kept saying, "This is for my cowboy. This is for my cowboy."
Oh man,
she's for my cowboy. Oh. She said on stage that she wrote the song "Come On Over" just for him because she wants him all the time.
Stupid ass bitch.
And that's when Tony threw the pick. He's like, oh, God, I hate my life. It just doesn't matter.
Tell her to quit talking about me.
God.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Did you want the Katy Perry doll for Christmas?
Yeah.
Sure.
No?
You don't? Things
are on. Come on.
That's what I'd be doing. What is wrong with
that.
You?
Kevin couldn't say it today. You can't say it today.
Yeah, but you had to dump out on the delay too. There,
his name's on the show. Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin comes first. I figured he knew what he was doing.
What is wrong with you?
I guess I thought you could say it. Kevin did.
Wow.
apparently, the toy is sold out. One of the hottest toys this Christmas. You can't find the Katy Perry doll.
Is this what everybody's going to start fighting over?
Apparently, they're going to start fighting each other over the Katy Perry doll. There was a waiting list, but now Integrity Toys, who is making the action figure, has closed that list, saying there's just too many people on it. They don't know if they can make enough Katy Perrys to go around.
Hmm. Is it a life-size doll? Is that why
it's just like a Barbie-esque Katy Perry doll, which apparently has just captured the imagination of perverts everywhere.
Maybe that was the Walmart problem, maybe, was the Katy Perry doll.
Is that why they all went nuts?
They're all running for it.
Maybe, yeah.
Relationship news in Hollywood. Sad news for Chris Klein, who, of course, starred in American Pie and other films. His girlfriend, Jennifer Goodwin.
Ooh, yeah.
From Big Love. They have split up, apparently, after dating for 2 years. Better relationship news. Eli Stone star Johnny Lee Miller, who, by the way, was the first husband of Angelina Jolie.
Oh.
Back in the late 90s. He and his wife, actress Michelle Hicks, had a baby boy last Wednesday named Buster.
Buster
Miller.
That's funny.
Kind of like that.
Yeah. Couple was married previously this year. She was 5 months pregnant at the time when she was married. But Johnny Lee is said to be super pleased about his new son, although admitted, damn it, I used to be married to Angelina Jolie. Yeah. Look at your new baby. Isn't he different? Yeah, whatever. I used to be married to Angelina Jolie.
Like 27 kids ago, though.
Still hasn't quite gone over it.
Yeah.
And who can blame him? You guys know who Forrest Ackerman is?
Nope.
Mm-mm. Oh, I know that name, sure.
Forrest Ackerman was the guy who invented the term sci-fi, science fiction.
Okay.
He was one of the biggest collectors of monster movie memorabilia and science fiction memorabilia in history.
Mm-hmm.
And he started Famous Monsters magazine. People used to go to his house just to see his collection. His entire home was crammed full of science fiction
must
and
be
horror
your hero.
Movie memorabilia. He was one of my heroes. Yeah. He has passed away at the age of 92 years old.
Who gets his stuff?
I don't know, but I'm stopping by the house. As soon as
Ralph, what percentage of people at your party Saturday night only came to your house because they wanted to see your Batman collection?
There was a lot of interest. I spent a lot of time going up and down the stairs. It was one of those parties where I didn't get a chance to eat anything, really, or do anything, because you know, a lot of people, it's the first time seeing the new house. They went at tours and stuff, so that was sort of my job.
You were hosting.
I was giving tours, yeah, and drinking.
Yeah.
I just had time to get to the bar and then back upstairs.
Which works well if you don't eat.
Yeah.
That's good.
My bat cave has a secret entrance to it. I built a secret entrance for my bat cave.
Is that code, or are we still talking about the room?
No.
Your bat cave
is a secret entrance. I won't get into the secret, because I don't want to give away the secret.
Is it like a bookcase?
There's a secret entrance. I'm just telling you, all you need to know is a secret entrance.
Well, does it involve a bust of William Shakespeare?
So I had to show people how to get to the room, because it's a secret entrance. Because
I walked right by it. I just couldn't figure out where it was.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So in order to show it off, I had to escort people.
Wow.
Some people, apparently, because I went up with one leg of the tour to show people the secret room. Lisa Mays in my secret room. Without me even having shown her where it was or be there. Somehow she got into the secret room.
Lightning found out? Yeah, he got the code and he took us up.
He was heading people off by your Christmas tree at the end. He's going, hey, you guys want to see the back end? Yeah. Come on, I'll take
it. He was also charging people $20 to see it, too.
Making money off the tours.
Wow.
I went up to him and make a secret entrance, and now Lisa May just wandered around the secret room when I open it up. She's already inside. It was like the first Batman movie with Keaton. Like, hey, Vicki Vale, what's she doing in the Batcave? Alfred, nice work.
Hey, Ralph. Glad you could join us.
Nice to see you in the secret room. Not so secret. And I got to tell you, sometimes it pays off to be a celebrity. Regis Philbin backed into a cop car last month.
Mm. What does that mean?
He backed his car into a cop car.
I don't know if that was code either. All right.
I can't really say it
with driving, Kevin? All right.
He was in a car driving it, put it in reverse, and slammed into a cop car.
Excellent.
Oh, my God. Really?
Cop gave him a written warning. Hi, you're Reese Philbin. Okay, don't do that again. We take our cop guys seriously. Get out of here, you crazy nut. Send him home.
Yay.
What would happen if one of us backed into a cop car?
Jail?
Death.
Death.
They would just beat us to death right on the spot.
But you're not Regis Philbin in either of mine.
I know. The Philb. God bless the Philb. I'm out of time, but when we come back in about an hour or so, I will give you the top 10 highest paid actresses in Hollywood. It's a very interesting list to see how it's changed this year. Today's celebrity birthdays, Ian Somerhalder from Lost is 30 years old, as is his old co-star Dominic Monaghan. Celebrates his 32nd birthday. Sinead O'Connor, crazy Irish broad, is 42. Terry Hatcher turns 44. And Kim Basinger, another crazy broad, turns 55 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We made the announcement earlier this morning. Tickets go on sale for K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008. Night number one, Thursday at 5 p.m. Night number two, Thursday at 6 p.m.
Perfect.
Check. So if you've been wondering why you have not heard that announcement, you can stop wondering, because now you know how to get tickets. You can only buy them online. Go to krock.com for all the details and to sign up to be a street team member, which is free, very fast, very easy to sign up for, and you need to do that if you want to buy tickets. So Saturday night, Kevin, I know you couldn't make Ralph's party, but apparently everybody over there and everybody at your house as well was tuned into the big Oscar De La Hoya fight.
Yeah, I thought there was going to be a fight, but there wasn't really.
It turns out he just showed up to cash a paycheck and go home.
It was really odd. And Oscar joins us this morning. Good morning, Oscar.
Good morning to you.
How are you, man?
Hi. Oh, I'm a great champion.
You look
I'm the
busted
golden
up.
Boy. Well, that's ridiculous. Of course I'm not. I was barely touched Saturday night at the fight.
You were barely touched. You practically sat in the corner and cried instead of answering the bell in the night.
That's
you
crazy.
Quit the fight.
These claims are insane.
You
obviously
were
pummeled.
You were destroyed.
Well, maybe in your eyes, but I know how the fight really went. People inside the arena there know how the fight really went because of the racist anti-Mexican propaganda that was given to you from pay-per-view.
Hey, Oscar, what about this? What about Pacquiao landed 224 punches, you landed 83? What about that statistic?
That was in the hologram editing video nonsense that you saw in the pay-per-view, but in the reality, in the real fight, I landed 5 million punches and he did not touch me.
That's highly unlikely.
I think he's dead. In reality, I killed him with my furious combos.
Here's
my
a little bit.
45 hit combos, my Mexican combos.
Here's a little bit of Oscar's trainer and the official medical, the doctor there that night as they talk about stopping the fight between the 8th and 9th round.
There's a lot of glory and a lot of money in Oscar De La Hoya's past, but he's getting beaten up here.
Hey, he doesn't feel anything.
You have a headache?
Okay, listen. No. Listen. If you keep taking punches, I'm stopping the fight. Okay?
We're going to stop it. Better we stop it. It's our decision, Oscar. It's a decision that we have to take. There's no reason to continue with this. He's too fast. Are you okay? You with that? You agree? Yes.
He just sat there the whole time, just sat there. They're trying to, like, get some kind of response out of him after getting just pummeled.
As you can hear clearly here on that clip, it's all voiceover actors trying to bring down my reputation.
Is that it? Yeah. That's it? Let's finish it. That's it. Let's go.
It's done. Manny Pacquiao has beaten Oscar De La Hoya.
Yep.
Silly. Silly.
What do you mean silly? What are you talking about? You
couldn't. The editing that you've done to make it seem as if I have lost this fight, but
I don't know.
In actuality, I crushed him.
I've rarely seen a worse beating.
I could see
you couldn't block one single punch that he threw. It was pathetic.
You're right. I was too busy throwing punches and busting his face up.
Oh,
Oscar, they took you to the hospital after the fight to have you checked out.
His mother had to wear the bukkake shield in the front row to take away all the blood that was splashing on her face from her son's head that I was mashing.
Your eye was swollen. It was looked like it was cut. You were a mess.
I was winking.
You didn't even know where you were.
I was winking to my many fans in East LA. Te quiero mucho, by the way, to all the fans. I am the golden boy. I was winking. Watch. Lisa May.
Right.
How romantic was it when I was punching? I do this.
You weren't winking. Your eye was closed. It was swollen shut.
No, this is ridiculous.
They kept like doing that iron thing on you.
My fists are made of iron. You're correct.
All right, let's bring in Manny Pacquiao.
Mexican iron.
What?
Oh, Manny's on the phone too?
Manny, good morning.
Hey, Round Eye, how you go today? I was a game winner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you pretty much demolished him.
Hey, how you doing, Round Eye?
I refuse to talk to you because you are a crazy, fraudulent man.
You know Round Eye no more. You're like me. You're little silly eyes now. Oh. And I hit you so many times in the face.
Can you guys smell the dog over the phone?
No.
What's wrong with you?
He's the champion. He's the new golden boy.
Right.
I got bad news for you.
He is the yellow boy. Maybe I'm the golden boy.
You didn't block one of his punches.
Not
I don't think
too fast for you.
Not one of them.
I stood, much like I will stand very proud and stately in my statue in front of the Staples Center.
Right.
I stood in the ring and I took his punches. He did not hurt me.
I had to change the statue. Now it's going to be you sitting on a stool. In the corner, staring blankly at the faces of people who talk to you because you can't understand because I concussed you.
Like I said, much like in the election when you would see the hologram of someone talking from
a
distance.
What are you talking about?
That is what
there
they
was
did.
Blood. The doctor stopped
the
it.
The pay-per-view companies are very upset at the Golden Boy Oscar De La Hoya, Te Quiero Mucho, to East Los Angeles, because I have done some things behind closed doors. There has been some business operations they are not happy with, the Golden Boy promotions and things like this. So what they have done is they've tried to defame me, and they've put on this fake, edited, fraudulent fight that you see. It was like a video game, kind of, how they did
it
that.
It was like a video game, because I played it for 9 rounds and I didn't get hurt. It's just like me pushing a button and fish was throwing and then I win.
Manny, did you get hit once?
I can't remember if I got hit. I do not believe I did.
Yeah, I don't think you did either. That was really lopsided. Really, really just ugly. Oscar, come on.
I'm the golden boy. Te quiero mucho, East LA.
Well done, Manny.
Good thing
I'm. Go Filipino town. Everybody gets a free turkey.
He was giving out turkeys. That's true, Manny. You're a nice guy.
We all know those were poodles.
Congratulations.
Speaking of the Killers, by the way, they have a fun annual tradition where they release a Christmas song every year for charity. And they just released their third one, their third year in a row. They released a Christmas song. You can find it all over the internet called Joseph Better Me Than You. And it kind of brought up a topic that we were talking about off the air last week about Christmas songs and how many there are and how many bad ones there are and how annoying so many Christmas songs are. And there are a lot of people who really hate this time of year because of the songs that they hear on the radio.
Well, the problem is that there are some good Christmas songs, but they are few and far between. So you hear the good ones 1,000 times, and then there's a lot of people that try to just, you know, write a song about Christmas so it can be a novelty, right. And it's crappy, yeah. And you hear that a lot?
A lot of Christmas songs are written just to cash in,
yeah.
Because they know there is a market for it, and they know they can have a reasonable success with very little work because there's just a need for Christmas songs.
The guy who has a Christmas song every single day is now going to lead us through a list of songs from Christmas that are bad.
I do run a website called Christmas Music Every Day because I'm a huge holiday music enthusiast, and I contend that there are thousands of great Christmas songs, but unfortunately they don't get played on the radio. You don't hear those ones. But some of the ones you do hear, I can understand why people are tired of. Now, this particular list, and there are a bunch of lists this time of year, but this particular list comes from a television station in Cleveland, Ohio. I think it's Channel 5 out there in Cleveland. And this is their list, and you guys tell me what you agree and disagree with, and then we'll open up the phones to our listeners for the most annoying Christmas songs of all time at 1-800-520-1067. Number 10 on the Channel 5 list of the most annoying Christmas songs is from the Star Wars Christmas album. Yes, the Star Wars Christmas album. Here's a little taste of what can you get a Wookiee for Christmas when he already owns a comb.
What can you get a Wookiee for Christmas when he already owns a comb? It's really a problem.
Wow.
Oh, Lord.
Ralph, wow. Did you ever see the Star Wars Christmas special?
Yeah, that's not from that, though. The album and the special.
Yeah, the
different.
Album is separate. But George Lucas, for a brief minute, decided that he was going to license anything Star Wars, no matter how crappy it was. And he came to regret it very quickly. And he's never, that CD instantly went out of print. He never allowed it to be re-released. The television specials never appeared on DVD.
Special's awesome.
Maybe he
special
should.
Is so awful.
Maybe it's possible that he should listen to it before he gives it his okay. Because there's no way George Lucas heard that song and went, thumbs up.
The special's all about Chewbacca's family trying to get home for Life Day, which is what they call Christmas.
All right.
And so Han Solo's in it. I mean, Harrison Ford is in it, and Luke Skywalker, and they're all trying to get him home in time for Christmas. And
Dee
Arthur's a guest star.
Oh,
and
my God.
Art Carney. It's just the worst.
What's going on?
The worst sort of variety show you've ever seen in your life. At Jefferson Airplane. Jefferson Starship also has an appearance. They do a song and everything.
It's bizarre.
It's spectacular.
We should dig up a bootleg and have a Ralph's Video Vault just on that special because it is a classic. Number 9 on the list is a Christmas song I guarantee you've heard. For some reason, this person put it in one of the 10 most annoying Christmas songs, and maybe it's just because they've heard it too much or there's something about little Brenda Lee's voice that drives them crazy when she sings Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree.
Rockin' around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party.
See, that's the problem with a song like that, is it has been recorded by 7,000 people.
Anyone who thinks that version is annoying has to hear Jessica Simpson's version.
Oh.
And then you will kiss Brenda Lee's feet.
She ruins it, does she, Jessica Simpson?
It's horrible.
Wow.
Next on the list of the most annoying Christmas songs, one I couldn't disagree with more. It's by the great James Brown. Santa Claus Goes Straight to the Ghetto.
Santa Claus goes straight to the ghetto.
Yeah, like a white guy with a lot of important presents in a bag going to show up in the ghetto. Please. He's no idiot.
Here's number 7, Ralph, and this one is, I guarantee, would be on your list if you were making it. The Redneck 12 Days of Christmas by your hero, Jeff Foxworthy.
12 pack of Bud, 11 wrestling tickets, 10 of Copenhagen, 9 years probation, 8 table dancers, 7 packs of Redman, 6 cans of Spam.
5 flannel shirts.
See what they did? They
changed flannel shirts.
That's so funny. See what
9 they did? Wrestling tickets. Just go to hell, South.
The whole part
tickets.
Of the country.
The whole South. Just,
wow.
We should have. When we had a chance during the Civil War, we should have crushed them.
Take them out.
All right, number 6 of the most annoying Christmas songs of all time on this list by a legend, Paul McCartney. And I guess it's the cheesy synthesizers that really destroys this song for a lot of people.
I agree.
We're talking about Wonderful Christmas Time.
This time of year.
This was the beginning of the end for McCartney. That song was the beginning of the end.
He started writing like a second grader.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anything that came to his mind, he thought it was a song.
Wow.
A lot of songs from that period, too, late 70s, early 80s, with those synthesizers maybe haven't aged too well.
Yeah.
That didn't help him at all. All right, here's a remake of a classic. Everybody knows the Nat King Cole Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire Christmas song. Well, a couple of years ago, Christina Aguilera did a holiday remix of that song. It ends up at number 5 on this list.
Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe will help to make the
I saw Psycho Mike dance to that in a Speedo once at a club in West Hollywood.
That makes me feel like
you can't put that beat behind that song.
Yeah, may not be a good fit. Ralph, you mentioned Jessica Simpson. She's on the list at number 4 with her little sister, Ashley. Here's a little bit of their taste of The Little Drummer Boy.
So to honor him, but I'm becoming when we come.
Yeah, that's bad.
The description, by the way, on the Channel 5 Cleveland website is, sounds more like a German military march than a Christmas tune. And without being unduly mean, let's just say that Ashley's voice does not quite come up to the standard of her sister. All right, K-Rock listeners are going to take offense at this. Everybody knows the Wham song Last Christmas. At number three on this annoying Christmas list, they put Last Christmas, covered by Jimmy Eat World.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart. The very next day, you gave it away.
Yeah, it's kind of gay.
It meanders, it whines, and it seems to last forever, as they say. All right, number two. And you can probably guess what the top two songs are, because they're the ones that come to mind when you think most annoying Christmas songs ever. It's hard to argue with number two. Ladies and gentlemen, The Singing Dogs.
See? They're different dogs.
Damn that
Ralph,
song.
They're
God
different dogs.
Damn that song.
Depending on
hell.
If you need a low note or a high note, they put a different song, a dog in there.
And I gotta guess that when that came out in, what, the late 50s probably, I gotta guess that the technology probably impressed people. Oh, you were able to edit those dogs together to make it sound like they were singing, and maybe you got a chuckle out of it. But how is it still played? How is it still popular 50 years later, though?
Can't
how
tell
are
you.
People still into the singing dogs? I don't
That's
know.
That's the problem with Christmas music, is that it, good, better, and different, it gets a new shelf life every goddamn year.
Yeah,
someone's
never goes
play.
Away.
They never retire these things.
They
never
ever
stop
it.
No, they just added to the list of songs that always will be played every Christmas.
Speaking
most
of which,
annoying Christmas song of all time, according to your list, and then we're going to take your calls on what they left off at 1-800-520-1067. Here's the description. The song may have been funny when it was written 25 years ago, but in today's world, it's about as humorous as the average episode of The Wiggles. It has spawned an animated special, a number of spin-off songs, a ringtone, and a truly dumb music video. Yep, we're talking about Elmo and Patsy.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer, walking home from our house Christmas Eve.
Nope. Nope.com.
Nope.com indeed.
1-800-520-1067 with your nominations for the worst Christmas song of all time.
Jingle bells, jingle bells.
Yep.
Jingle all the way.
Yep. By the way, just when you thought the chipmunks have to be running out of steam, you just when you thought, well, I mean, okay, that was the miracle of tape editing 50 years ago, but clearly we're over the chipmunks now. They made that freaking movie last year, that Alvin and the Chipmunks, huge hit, already yep. working on a sequel. They're back bigger than ever before.
Yep. Good
first
times.
One I like, though. Christmas, Christmas, don't be late, that one.
I don't know that one.
Christmas, Christmas.
Oh,
time
yeah.
Is here.
That's the classic,
time
right? We are talking about the most annoying Christmas songs of all time.
Alvin.
We just read 10 through 1, a list that was in one of the local TV stations. But there's some songs I'm sure that you think that they missed, that they should have included on the list. And those are the calls we're taking right now. 1-800-520-1067.
Let's start with Victoria in Rosemead. Good morning, Victoria.
Good morning. Okay, my mom has this cat CD that she plays every Christmas. It's called Jingle Cats. And all it is like cats meowing to jingle bells.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
The only thing worse than the dogs is this.
Is this your idea of a personal hell, Ralph, Jingle Cats?
I can only imagine they have to step on their tails to get them to make that noise. That's the only thing that makes me smile a little bit.
Thank you, Victoria. really, can we be done with all animals? I mean,
yes.
Really.
Yes,
honestly,
in general, across
the
board.
Do we need animals singing Christmas songs?
We don't need
songs?
Any animals for anything.
No, I'm saying as pets, fine, but come on, for God's sakes. Let's go to Joshua in Sylmar. Good morning, Joshua.
Morning.
What song is annoying to you from Christmas?
I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus.
Yeah.
That's just sad. He gets away with it.
So you're upset at the story.
And you're a little kid and you expect to see Santa Claus giving you presents and he's kissing. He's making out with your mom.
Yeah, that's
someone
right.
Someone has issues here.
Very troubled by the storyline.
I don't think we want to break the bad news to Josh about the whole Santa Claus thing.
Santa bangs a MILF.
I'm more troubled by Jessica Simpson's version of it.
I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus.
Why is she so terrible?
I don't know.
She just strangles vowels.
She's just bad. All right, let's go to Stephanie in Anaheim. Good morning, Stephanie. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Wrong line. Sorry about that. Hold on. Stephanie, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, what song do you despise from Christmas time?
I hate Santa Baby, especially done by Eartha Kitt.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree.
That's one of those songs that has been done by too many artists.
Yeah.
I like the original. That's the original version.
Yeah. Why do you hate it, Stephanie? What bugs you about it?
You hear it every freaking half hour on the Christmas radio station.
Yep.
Madonna's is a lot worse, though. Madonna's version's worse.
Stephanie, I'm going to tell you something that's going to make your head explode. That radio station that plays Christmas songs gets unbelievably successful ratings. They skyrocket when they play this stuff.
I listen to it except for when that song comes on, and then I turn it off.
Dear God.
Remember
that's
had bad. We here had Victoria Silvstedt Playmate of the Year sing that for our Christmas CD?
Oh, yeah. That was completely different. Remember when Madonna did it, though?
I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, and hurry down the chimney tonight.
A lot more annoying. A lot more annoying.
Hell? I agree. Yeah.
And she wasn't even one of the Catwomen on the Batman TV show, so she didn't even have that to back up like Eartha Kitt does.
Word.
Hey, I want to throw one out there that I think is not only one of the worst Christmas songs of all time, but maybe one of the worst songs of all time. Kevin, do you have a little bit of the Christmas Shoes by New Song? Do you have some of that for me to play? This was a song that was popular a few years ago and still gets played every year. It's about a guy whose wife is dying, and he sends his son out to try to beg for a pair of shoes that she can wear that when she meets Jesus, she'll look nice. I swear to God, that's what it's about. Here's a little bit of that.
Sir, I want to buy these shoes for my mama.
What?
It's Christmas Eve and these shoes are just her size.
They're just her size.
Not kidding.
This song makes me cry every time I hear it. I can't listen to
really?
It.
Really?
If
are
it comes on the radio, I have to change the station. I can't listen to it because it makes me cry.
For real?
For real.
I song hate makes them all so much. Time. They even made it a TV movie a couple of years ago,
too. I think that song
too.
Is so heartbreaking.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I have
no reason for it rationally, but I have to change the station or else I'd burst into tears when it's on its way.
Because
I'm a total mama's boy, and that little boy begging for money to buy his mom shoes because she's dying just kills me.
But isn't it so over the top that it gets beyond believable?
It is completely over the top, and it is completely cloying and sentimental, and yet it makes me cry every time.
Wow.
Inexplicably. I can't help myself.
Let's go to Kimberly in Montebello. Good morning, Kimberly.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
What song annoys you?
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
Goddamn song.
I don't think Santa Claus will mind you.
Oh, I hate this so much.
I hate that song with a passion. I hate it really bad. I have a friend who plays it all the time. Yeah, I can't stand it.
That doesn't help people that play it over and over and over again. That does not
any
help.
Song but, sung by a little fake kid. Like, Christmas for my two front teeth, that one, this one. I saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. Any fake kid singing song just makes me
laugh. Ralph, I think that the Hippopotamus for Christmas, if that's the version that I think of, it was really a kid. I think her name was Gayla Peavy. She was like 12 or something when she made that record.
Yeah, so. she was a real kid, Ralph.
She was
a
kid. It's like a fake kid. It's not a real kid. It's like a even if it is a kid, it's like a fake kid story.
What about the Three Stooges version of that song, though? Does that one save the Hippopotamus for Christmas for you?
No.
Not
even the Stooges can help that song.
What is this? I have a clip of John Denver from 1975. I'm not familiar with John Denver's work. What is Please Daddy Don't Get Drunk This Christmas?
That's a classic.
A classic. I would have heard it.
Please Daddy Don't Get Drunk This Christmas.
That is beautiful.
Sad song ever?
That's the Christmas spirit right there.
What is wrong with
it? It's one of those songs that you mentioned John Denver did it in 1975. It's been covered by like hundreds of artists. I mean, it's a standard in country music. Anyway.
Well, maybe that's why I never heard of it.
Wow.
Remember the one Billy Idol did for us for our last Christmas CD about his old man getting loaded from the pub and knocking over the Christmas tree?
Yeah, that was great.
The funniest song ever. I love that song.
Yeah, we have way too many songs and not enough time. But
okay. Well, we've scratched the surface of annoying songs, but there are plenty of them out there.
Yep, and we'll continue this conversation later. If you'd like to email us, it's bean@krock.com.
Don't play that shoe song. I'll just be a mess.
We made the announcement earlier this morning that you can buy tickets for K-Rock's Almost to Christmas 2008. Thursday night, 5 o'clock for night number one. Thursday night. 6 o'clock, night number two. I know. It sounded like I said clot, didn't it?
Yes.
I said clot. 5 p.m. Thursday, 6 p.m. Thursday.
Oh,
people have no idea what you're saying.
You have confused more listeners than anyone ever.
Take two.
Actually, this is take three.
All right, what clock do I have to have in order to buy them?
Thursday night at 5 o'clock, night number one.
5 o'clock.
Thursday night at 6 o'clock, night number two.
Night two, 6 o'clock.
That's okay. It.
Wow.
Online only.
Okay.
That online
seemed
only.
Hard to screw up.
It is, and yet I did it.
All right.
Thank
details
you.
For the particulars at krock.com. Of course, Bob DeMott from Sylmar doesn't have to worry about that because he just won night one and night two and pit passes for Acoustic Christmas by calling in and being caller 20 when he heard that song. There's always a song to listen for. Also go to krock.com for that information. This is KROQ FM Pasadena, Los Angeles. Ralph joins us for another look at the Showbiz Beat for Monday morning.
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Four Christmases came in at number one, making a hair over $18 million. It's another thing. Christmas movies. It's like Christmas songs. You know there's a guaranteed audience for it. As crappy as your Christmas movie may be, you will make money because people want to see a Christmas movie at Christmas time. And it will live on forever on DVD and on cable, and you will always make a living off a Christmas movie.
That's true.
I always said if I had money to make one movie, it would be a Christmas movie. And it would be for an ethnicity. It would be for a minority group.
Sure.
Because they love their Christmas movies.
Yeah.
Last year we had This Christmas, which was the big black Christmas movie. This year we got that Puerto Rican Christmas movie coming out.
Is that...
With John Leguizamo Deborah Messing and every Hispanic actor in Hollywood is playing someone in that family. Genius. Genius marketing.
Remember that... was it Music and Lyrics, the movie where Hugh Grant's character inherited the his father had written a famous Christmas song, so he inherited the royalties, and he just made a living because that song got played every year and sold every year, and he just lived off of it.
Yep.
Genius.
That's pretty awesome.
Twilight was number two at the box office, then Bolt, Australia, Quantum of Solace, Madagascar 2, Transporter 3, Punisher, in its debut, was number eight. Cadillac Records and Role Models rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Hollywood Reporter has released their power list, as they do every year, but this year they also have a list of the top 100 highest paid actresses in Hollywood. And here's your top five. Some surprises, I think. Number fifth on the list, Katherine Heigl.
Really?
The fifth highest paid movie actress in Hollywood.
That's shocking. She's had a couple of big hits, I guess.
That's true.
Is that because of that Dresses movie? Was that her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was her.
And so was Knocked Up.
Knocked Up.
Was her. Oh, yeah, that, right.
So. And so her quote now is through the roof. What she gets paid for a movie is enormous.
That's shocking. I wouldn't have guessed that.
No wonder she hates everyone at Grey's Anatomy. She doesn't need him anymore.
Yeah.
Number four.
Cameron Diaz. Always a perennial on this list. Inexplicably, she still gets paid tons of money to make movies.
What's the last good movie she made?
I'm hard-pressed to name a good movie she's made.
I think the last one I remember her in was a holiday movie, remember? With Kate Winslet, called The Holiday.
No.
Yeah, that movie.
Number three!
That wasn't a good movie. That was another Christmas movie.
Not a good movie, but I think it was a hit.
But she just did that What Happens in Vegas movie with Ashton Kutcher.
That's right. Yeah,
dog. Ruff, ruff. Number three is Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Makes big dough. 20 mil.
Number one this weekend.
20 mil.
Man jaw.
Julia Roberts, inexplicably, still on the list.
Yeah.
Even though she makes about one movie every 4 years now. Really? What's the last one she made? Charlie Wilson's War? Was that last time she was in a movie?
I think so.
And number one, as you can imagine, Angelina Jolie. Angelina Jolie, the highest paid movie actress in Hollywood.
Deserves it.
Made over $20 million for Wanted recently.
Wow.
That's what she's getting.
Dude.
Tonight on television is the two-hour series finale of Boston Legal. If you're a Boston Legal fan, you'll want to say goodbye tonight, and it's a two-hour series finale. David E. Kelley, the creator of Boston Legal, isn't too pleased that the fact that the show is canceled, but he thinks he knows why. This is an interesting and sort of candid revelation for someone working in the television industry, which is true, and most people don't talk about it. But he said, our numbers have been pretty solid, but I don't think the show is one that ABC is truly excited about. They don't own it. And I'm sure they would prefer to invest in their own product and get a piece of the revenues of that show than to keep us on the air. So it's interesting when you think about why shows stick around and why they don't. ABC bought this from David E. Kelley. He's an independent contractor, so they don't get a big payoff with the residuals with reruns and that kind of stuff.
Interesting.
So goodbye to Denny Crane and the family.
Who would have ever thought that William Shatner, that iconic actor so associated with Star Trek, would come up at this age with another role that would be so great that he could play for so many years? And I mean, he has a whole new legion of fans out there who just love Denny Crane.
I'm Denny Crane. Denny Crane. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kim Basinger is 55 years old today. Terry Hatcher celebrates her 44th birthday. Terry's not aging all that well.
Nope. She's so skinny.
Last couple of years, it started to catch up with her.
I think that might be part of it.
I think ultra-thin women tend to age less.
Yeah, they don't have any fat under their face, so they
start
just
to get wizened. Yeah, it's a bad look.
Sinead O'Connor's 42 years old. Dominic Monaghan, by the way, from Lost and Lord of the Rings, is 32. And Ian Somerhalder, who also was on Lost as Boone, till Dominic killed him by dropping a plane on him. Nice work. He's 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I give you credit, Ralph. I don't remember very many plot points from Lost, which was a series that was popular back in the late 60s.
It's going to be on in like a month. Mm. It's coming back. Well,
are they doing a reunion month. Show?
No, really? That's the next season.
Hmm. Whatever happened to?
They're moving the island, and then someone got sick.
I want to thank all of our many, many guests on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, especially Ricky and Vicky, the Icky twins, who are going to be the stars.
Yeah. Looking for love.
Of a double shot. Me. At love, and they sound like they really are hot bisexual chicks who are out there to just make romance.
And
that's
you can't
what
find
about.
Someone to date when you're a hot bisexual chick other than on television. It's the
that
only
is
place
true.
You can find
that's
true
the
love.
Only way to do it.
Yeah. Double Shot at Love debuts tomorrow night at 9 on MTV. Thanks to the world's greatest human ever, Mr. Skin. Please check out his list of the top 20 nude scenes of 2008 and all that MrSkin.com has to offer. And thanks to our pal Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. That's the website. TMZ Television airs weeknights at 6:30 on Channel 11.
Oscar De La Hoya, Manny Pacquiao, by the way.
Thank them for stopping,
for stopping by. Very that was good to talk
very
to
Very good time with them. This afternoon, Kevin and Bean, Cinco de la Tarde, we have highlights, if you can call it that, from this past weekend's Dancing with the Dogs.
You guys are not going to believe this show. You're really not.
Animal Planet over the weekend. 2 hours, people dancing with their dogs.
I tried to watch. My TV set threw up plasma when I put it on the screen. It was horrible.
So those highlights are coming up this afternoon.
Cat Corbett's next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. Why not stick around for the Kings of Leon? Also, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Incubus, Rise Against, Beastie Boys, and more straight ahead after this on
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is the Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde. You are listening for a Rise Against song, Ready to Fall, for tickets to both nights of K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas in the pit and backstage passes for both nights.
And if you missed the announcement this morning on the Kevin and Bean Morning Show, then you missed the details of how you can buy your tickets about 72 hours from right now. 5 o'clock on Thursday is when tickets for night number one go on sale. And then 6 o'clock, 1 hour later on Thursday, is when night number two. All those details at KROQ.com. Online only, you do have to be a street team member. It's a miracle that I am here this afternoon. It's a miracle that I didn't quit this f***ing job after the job that I had to do on Saturday night at home, guys.
Aww. You found it.
You did.
I read an article. I read an article that there was a show on Animal Planet Saturday night called Dancing with Dogs. That is exactly what you think. It's a Dancing with the Stars, except instead of with two people, you have somebody dancing with his dog, or I should say with her dog. That's the show. I didn't know it was going to be 2 hours of the crazy, first of all. And I also didn't know how much I would want to drive to Rhode Island and kill every one of them and their pets.
They did
after
it,
I saw the show.
They did it like the Olympics, where they give you the stories of everyone.
Well, of course, they have to do that to fill 2 hours.
I know.
Wow. And, of course, Lisa watched it voluntarily, by the way.
I did. I watched it all.
See, Animal that's Planet. Why they make it.
Dancing with Dogs. Here's how the show began.
Grace. Agility.
Come on.
Style.
Now, you're out already at
Shut
this point.
Up. Like, I love this. This is almost good.
This is Musical Canine Freestyle, a sport where dog and handler move as one.
It's not a sport.
It's a sport, Bean.
Can I just say that on behalf of the people who are screaming at the radio right now? Yeah. It's not a sport.
Precision, artistry, and athleticism. A discipline that evolved from a small idea into an international phenomenon.
It is an international phenomenon that none of us had ever heard of until Friday, right?
Right.
This is
at stake today, the coveted Animal Planet Cup. For most, it has been a long, hard road of training and dedication leading here. The international freestyle competition. Who can bring the dazzle, the pizzazz, the showmanship? The stage is set. The goal is clear. It's time to dance with the dogs.
By the way, the Animal Planet Cup looks like a punch bowl. I mean, that's there's no money, there's no cash.
It's the coveted.
There's no prize associated with that. It's just a punch bowl. That's all you get. I guess you feed your dog at it or something.
I think you can stop.
So we're up and running in a hotel in Rhode Island, and we meet our host, who, and by the way, the only thing that can make this show more annoying is if you get us a gay Asian dude to do funny skits while he is hosting the show. And the show opens with him in his dressing room, realizing he has an important phone call to make
to his dog.
Alec, 1 minute.
Oh, 1 minute. Oh, thanks. Hey, Shelly, are you there? Pick up, pick up, pick up.
Okay, he's talking to his dog on the phone, right? Yes. And then they show his dog reacting to his voice in the room.
Oh, it's Alec Mappa. I really wanted to talk to you before I went on the air. I'm hosting Dancing with Dogs. Just promise me you'll watch a show, okay? Oh, we're about to start. Okay, I gotta go. Bye.
The dog runs over to the remote control and turns on the TV and starts watching the show.
Do you tell your dog your name is Alec Mappa?
Yes, you tell him. You got to tell him first and last name.
Like dad or whatever?
Yeah, exactly.
Your host for Dancing with Dogs. Today, in this ring, we will see the creme de la creme of collies that conga and shelties that swing, all in competition for the ultimate prize, the Animal Planet Cup.
Right, the Fruit Punch Bowl. I don't know if I can even hear any more of it now.
Wow.
Here's a little bit more about how Dancing with Dogs works in person, in the arena, and then we'll meet our first contestant.
Founded in 1999, the World Canine Freestyle Organization has now grown to over 20 chapters in 17 countries. And their ultimate goal? To one day see musical canine freestyle become an Olympic sport.
Yes! Yes! May I remind you that baseball is not an Olympic sport. This guy wants Dancing with the Dogs to be in the Olympics.
I'm in love with this show.
There are plenty of ways, of course, for you and your pet to be disqualified.
But competitors have to be careful, sure, as there are plenty of ways to lose points and even be disqualified. Handlers cannot use food or toys to bait the dog during the routine.
Okay, by the way, this might be an outstanding time to point that the humans are the ones who force their poor, battered, abused animals into the ring for Dancing with the Dogs. None of the dogs want to be there.
Of course
and
not.
And everything that they get penalized for is something that the dog would enjoy. Heaven forbid you give him food or toys. That would make the dog happy. Let's throw him out for that.
At no time during the performance can any part of the dog's body leave the ring, even if by accident.
What if the dog is smart and wants to leave because he's too embarrassed to be appearing in Dancing with the Dogs?
No, I hate humans. I'm out.
Exactly.
And speaking of accidents, if the dog happens to commit a foul, he is disqualified.
Okay. Now,
foul?
A foul is exactly what you would expect. And they had, I swear to God, you guys, I'm not kidding about this on the Animal Planet. They had a close-up of a Newfoundland. You guys know what those dogs are?
They're
they weigh like 150 pounds. They're huge dogs.
Yeah, like a mini horse, kind of.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. They had a close-up of a Newfoundland taking the biggest, steamiest, nuttiest, high-def dump you've ever seen on television.
And that is no way to live.
Why they had to show that, I can't imagine, but they did.
Because it was a foul, Bean. Did they throw a flag?
God, why did I have to see
that? Is there a replay challenge?
Let's meet our first contestant, shall we?
My name's Carrie Neri. I live in Salem, Connecticut, and I am going to be competing with Callaway, who's a 5-year-old miniature Australian Shepherd. Callaway is a frisbee dog, and he'd much rather do frisbee than dance, so I try to throw in a lot of my frisbee moves without the frisbee for Callaway.
Okay, why not just play frisbee with your dog instead of forcing him to dance?
How about don't have him dance?
How about you take away the dogs?
You know ahead of time that he hates it.
Exactly. That's the point. That's what this is just like the people who dress up their pets. They do it for them. They don't care how much the dog hates it. It's exactly the case with Callaway.
I think his favorite move is jumping through my leg. As far as,
By the way, that's the only thing that's jumping through her legs. All of these women are old and just dried up prunes who can't get a man, and they have no family, and they have no friends, and they just put all of their time in their stupid dogs and their dancing.
As far as, people in freestyle, I'm kind of out there and flashy and the wild child. For my costumes, sometimes I'm a little bit out there. I prefer to dance in sequins and spandex.
Sure you
Maybe
do.
When I'm in my 60s and I'm doing freestyle, I might not want to wear it. But right now, that's what I like. It's just fun for everybody.
Nope. She ended up going on the show, by the way, in an outfit that involved a cape. Okay? She actually wore a cape where she cut out like little paw prints and put
this
it on the
cape. This keeps getting better.
All right, we only have time for one more clip, and I think this is, again, representative of the kind of people who enter Dancing with the Dogs on Animal Planet Saturday night. Let's meet this woman.
When I tell people that I dance with my dogs,
They pretty much think that I'm nuts. You dance with your dog, you know, like how the waltz, the rumba, you know. So I think they pretty much have to be shown what it is, and then you have to be impressed when you see it.
Nope.
It's just wonderful. Nope. And my dogs and I have never been closer. I'll never give it up.
Okay, she and her dogs have never been closer. This is the last clip we'll play from Dancing with the Dogs. I want you to see what happens when she goes out into the arena with her pooch to compete.
Right now, we have Chico and Diana Frohman. Oh, I'm loving the shimmer on that vest.
They're for sure in the running for the Animal Planet Cup. However, Chico likes to self-choreograph, so Diana never knows what he's going to do next.
All right, music starts. Dog looks around and makes a run for it.
The sequence. Oh, there seems to be a lot of confusion right now. All right, well, let's go to commercial. And when we come back, we'll find out if Chico has indeed been disqualified.
Chico,
stay with us.
Has never been happier to be disqualified or anything in his life because he got away from that bag that was making him dance.
Chico has left
the
building.
Chico's the smartest guy in the room. He left. The rest of us are stuck behind watching the freaking Dancing with the Dogs.
That might be the best show ever.
You.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, Cinco de la Tarde, and we are still playing songs for you to win tickets in the pit and backstage for both nights of K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, just go to krock.com to find out what song to listen for. It could play at any time, perhaps as part of the 60 minutes of nonstop commercial-free music that our friend Nicole has starting at 6 o'clock. Maybe, I'm just saying maybe, it might play during that hour. First, though, a lot of us were very happy on Friday when we heard the news out of Las Vegas. O.J. Simpson, as you know, convicted back on October 3rd of just a whole bunch of counts for that botched robbery in the Palace Station Hotel in Las Vegas. He ended up, he's going to go to jail for a long, long time. We don't know exactly how long yet, but maybe he does. He's on the phone with us right now where he has begun to serve his sentence. Good morning, Juice.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How you doing?
We're doing good. How are you?
I couldn't be more in jail.
That's true. That is true.
I am completely in jail right now.
Well, now, the good news, if there is anything for you, OJ, it's that you did get credit for the 64 days you'd already served when they convicted you.
Yeah, so I got that going for me. Right. They're going to take that time off. So it's only like another 8 years and 20 months or something.
Right.
Great.
You were convicted on something like 12 counts, and they had a whole bunch of concurrent sentences, and it looks like you could do somewhere between 9 and 33 years, but you might be eligible for parole before then. I don't even understand how much time you're really going to be behind bars.
Understand. I was there. Yeah. In the room, and I was like, hold on, let me get a calculator. 9 minus 16, what, 15 years twice divided by parole, adding pi minus... I don't know.
Judge was not happy with you.
Here's the thing.
She did not like you.
Nobody convicted of these crimes would get this much jail cell time. I mean, it's obvious that she hates me because I'm black, first of all.
I don't think that doesn't have anything to do with it.
I think she must be a UCLA fan or something. I can't imagine what she got against me. I mean, look, that's a lot of prison time. It's not like I killed somebody.
Again?
Oh, wait a minute.
This time. She did go out of her way to say this is not punishment for any other crime.
Yeah, can you imagine that? Like she didn't know I killed two people.
No, she knew.
Oh, no, OJ. That's had nothing to do with that. This has nothing to do with that. No.
Is it possible that she was young, white, and blonde? Could that have been the trouble, maybe?
Well, the judge was a brunette.
No.
Oh, she was.
So
okay.
She should have known that I wasn't interested in her.
Yeah, of course.
Maybe that's why. Maybe she's jealous. Maybe she wants some juice from the juice.
Really? You think she's jealous?
She probably loves me. She's probably in love with me.
She was very upset, it sounded like.
Because I didn't give her any.
She said
wanted
that you were
a little man juice from the juice.
You said, she said you were stupid and arrogant. Both.
Okay, you can't say that.
That's what she wanted.
You can't say that.
That's what she wanted from the juice.
Not even Kevin can say that on the air. You can't say that.
I'm in jail. What are they going to do to me?
That's a good point. Yeah.
Okay, let me ask. And I'm in jail.
Yeah. Right. Let me ask you one more thing, because you had a chance to really beg and plead for leniency in front of the judge. You could have really said you were sorry, and basically you didn't. You basically just stood up there in front of the judge like a blithering idiot and tried to get them to feel sorry for you.
I said I was stupid.
Yeah.
I said I did a stupid thing.
Yeah.
Can I go home now, please?
It doesn't work that way.
Why not? I'm the juice.
Yeah.
I did can go to jail for killing people.
Are you telling people now that you killed them?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Come on. I killed people and didn't go to jail.
That is true.
They put me in jail for waving a gun around trying to get a football jersey back?
Right.
That's crazy. Las Vegas is f***ed up.
Yes, it is.
106.7 K-Rock. K-Rock.
Here we go again.
Body on the Rock. It's heard Paramore, mm-hmm. and they're going to be at night number two of the KROQ Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008.
Right, right.
That's right.
And I have a feeling that Paramore won't be doing acoustic, what you just heard, but they'll be rocking out instead.
Okay.
And night number two.
That's good news.
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Thanks for that input, Rodney.
Yes, they will be
appreciate
rocking
that.
Out.
They will be rocking out like they do.
You're pretty sharp there, Rodney.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, Cinco de la Tarde, Monday afternoon. Ralph is here with a look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
You ladies are pretty sharp in your appearance.
Bean told some girls that this morning on the show.
We're still talking about it.
Yeah.
I would like to take you a ride in my horseless carriage.
Who says you're pretty sharp?
Take you down to the speakeasy for some bathtub gin.
Have you ever... We were talking to Nikki and Licky or whatever their names
the
are.
The Icky twins. Nikki and
right.
Licky.
Yeah. They're the girls who took over for Tila Tequila on the MTV Shot of Love debuting tomorrow night, and we were talking about how hot they were.
No, we were talking about how hot they were. You thought they were sharp.
You girls are sharp.
You're sharp looking.
They did not have any reaction to that at all.
Well,
I had no idea what I was talking about.
I'm going to spin in my Stutz Bearcat, my roadster.
Bean has been 75 years old since the day he was born.
We'll go down to the luncheonette at the Five and Dime.
How dare you? All right. Now can Ralph look at the showbiz beat for Monday, please?
I'd much rather mock you. It's more fun. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend for Christmases. Still very popular with the movie-going public. Made it number one with $18.2 million in sales. Twilight was number two. Then Bolt, Australia, Quantum of Solace, Madagascar 2. The Transporter 3 was number 7. Punisher Warzone in its debut weekend only made $4 million. Good enough to make it number 8, though. Then Cadillac Records and Role Models rounding out your top 10 in the box office. Let's talk about Britney Spears, shall we?
Yes.
If you ever need a proof that she was crazy, this is it. They should put her back into the home, wherever they got her. That rubber room she was staying in when they took her out in the stretcher.
Yeah.
She has announced that she's considering a breast reduction.
What?
Just when she's starting to look hot again.
Huh?
She's got those heaving, mysterious, succulent breasts. She looks them gone. I have a love-hate relationship with my boobs, she said earlier. At the moment, I hate them and want them smaller.
Huh?
I'm tempted to have a breast reduction so I can slink into some amazing stage outfits for my next set of shows.
No! God! No! God! Please, no! No!
I know they look sexy, but sometimes they get in the way. Yeah.
Come on with that.
She wants her old body back, her pre-baby, pre-Cheetos barefoot Haagen-Dazs body, I guess.
Those boobs are the only reason anyone talks to her.
It's certainly the best result of the past 2 years of her life, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Huh?
Women. To hear about this lawsuit, guitarist Joe Satriani claims that Coldplay stole from him. Apparently on Thursday, he filed a lawsuit here in Los Angeles saying that his instrumental song, I Can Fly...
I'm sorry to ask, who is he?
Joe Satriani is a legendary guitar player, sort of a rock jazz guitar player. He's been around for a long time.
Okay.
Did he ever play in a band or anything, or has he always been solo, Mike?
I think he's always been solo.
I know he's a legendary shredder, but I thought maybe he'd been
He never played in like a recording band. He did the G4 for a while, which was like the touring of him and Yngwie Malmsteen and other guys that are shredders.
Yngwie Malmsteen.
That guy does good work. Good
but he's never done I don't think he was in like a touring band or a band that you'd know.
He had a hit. He had a guitar hit in the top 10. I can't think of what it was right now. I'm pretty sure that wasn't it.
Can't say that, Mike.
Hit song. Bean, you got a computer access there.
I'll look it up. Yeah, go ahead.
Joe Satriani's a hit song. Anyway, he is suing them, saying that his instrumental "I Can Fly" was ripped off for their hit single "Viva La Vida."
What are the chances anyone heard that?
I agree with you.
There are some.
And ordinarily, I find these lawsuits bogus. But if you take a listen to the songs back to back, it's uncanny. I mean, they're not just similar. It's uncanny how close they are. Well, we'll play you the Viva La Vida, the original
Coldplay song, and then the Joe Satriani, and then what we'll do is we'll lay one on top of the other, play them simultaneously, and it's remarkable how close they are.
Huh?
Here's Coldplay. I used to the world.
Seas would rise when I gave the word. All right, there's that.
All right, you know that one. Here's the Joe Satriani version.
That's pretty close.
Huh? Here's one on top of the other, simultaneously.
It just sounds like Chris Martin needs to pull their guitarist back a little.
First of all, that's a bitchin' mashup.
Tone it down.
But secondly, I think there's at least a case here
sure
to be heard,
like
right?
How would you have to prove that Chris Martin would have been able to hear that song somewhere? Because it's kind of obscure, his version of that song, right?
I guess.
It's possible that's just a complete coincidence, right?
Sure, it's possible.
It is, yeah.
But is it likely?
By the way,
yes,
Your Honor.
Satriani, by the way, has received 14 Grammy nominations without a win, which is the most, apparently.
Huh?
He's sold more than 10 million albums. The song you may be referring to, is it Surfing with the Alien?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah,
never heard of it.
You, if you heard it, you would recognize it.
I've never heard it.
You would recognize it.
I have never heard it.
Chris Martin, you big liar.
Haven't heard it.
Here's the thing. This isn't like some guy who sits in a garage, you know, playing the guitar saying Coldplay stole from me.
Almost.
Like the last guy that sued him for stealing the same song,
right,
by the way.
This is a guy who sold millions of records and is a Grammy-nominated artist. This is a legitimate guy. So I think that may carry a little more weight in a courtroom. Than if, like, Psycho Mike said you stole it from me.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Which he tried that, too.
Maybe. Interesting to see. I wonder if this will be a payoff just to make it go away. I wonder how this will work.
I wonder if Chris Martin will look sharp as he enters into the courtroom. Let's talk about today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Kim Basinger is 55 years old today. Actress Terry Hatcher turns 44. Sinead O'Connor.
Yeah.
Sinbad O'Connor is 42 years old. Dominic Monaghan from Lord of the Rings and Lost is 32. Ian Somerhalder. From Rules of Attraction, Life is a House, and also Lost. He is 30 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. How about tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show, Kevin? Are we coming back strong for Tuesday?
Nope. But we've got some pit tickets and backstage passes for both nights.
That's
of K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Both nights?
Yes, wow. Both nights. We also have Christmas Party Disasters tomorrow morning.
Oh,
we
great.
Talked to a guy who got fired for dancing with his boss's wife.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good times. And there's a British priest that had to go to the hospital to have something removed from his ass, and that something was a potato. A British priest. Well,
that could happen. That sounds like it could have been accidental.
He fell on it.
He was a potato. You think it'd be an Irish priest. He was like, 'cause they love potatoes, the Irish.
And Ralph, a story that you tipped us off to, we finally got the guy on the phone. The dude that you told us about in Australia who's running that nudist colony. What's his deal?
It's a resort. It's a regular resort hotel. But they're doing so poorly with the tourism dollar over in Australia that they've had to up the ante a little bit. So they're having a month-long, totally nude sex party.
A month?
At the resort for a month.
All right.
Fantastic. Apparently they're almost already sold out once people cut wind.
Well, we'll talk to that guy tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. But don't go anywhere. Nicole Alvarez is up next. She's got 60 minutes of nonstop, commercial-free, uninterrupted K-Rock music, including Muse, also The Offspring, STP, and maybe a little song by Rise Against. You'll know what to do when you hear that. It's all coming up right here on K-Rock.